Hey folks, Ben Birch here from White Rose Society. I don't usually interrupt your regularly scheduled programming, so I'll keep this brief. I am currently holding a fund drive to keep White Rose on the air. If you think what I do here is valuable, please visit our homepage at www.whiterosesociety.org and chip in to defray the substantial costs of this service. Thank you very much.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Paradise, the surrounding community, which could force an evacuation of as many as 30,000 to 40,000 people.
CBS News, I'm Jim Taylor. Fire in the south, in the west, and it's been a bad year for the FDA. CBS News correspondent Nancy Cordes.
Over the past year, Congress has accused the Food and Drug Administration of mishandling health scares from pet food to heparin, Avandia, now to tomatoes. However, in that same time period, the FDA awarded its top executives a combined $1 million in bonuses. That means the top 28 executives received an average of $35,000 in additional compensation.
The bonuses have congressional leaders outraged, one senior FDA exec taking home more than $200,000, more than the head of the FBI. More on this story tonight on the CBS Evening News. Still a mystery, the nation's largest foodborne outbreak in at least a decade, Salmonella. 7 weeks into their investigation, federal health officials are not shortening the list of potential culprits, but adding to it. Now jalapeno pepper producers are even being probed alongside tomato distributors, and even fresh cilantro is under suspicion. Oil, more than $141 a barrel, a jump of $5.50 today. It comes on the heels of a $10 drop over the last 2 days. Happened after Iran announced another missile test today. Mass Transit coming to another place that's been dominated by the automobile, Phoenix, Arizona. Tiffany Huisman and her family at today's test run of the town's new light rail.
I'm a third-generation native. My grandfather is 84 today, and he was here when there used to be trolleys on these streets. We desperately need it. Can't rely just on freeways.
That rail system expected to carry passengers in late December. Toyota changing with the times, shutting down or consolidating several plants that make trucks and SUVs. Spokesman Mike Goss announcing plans for a new plant to build the hybrid Prius.
It allows us to adjust to Americans' increasing preference for hybrid vehicles and more fuel-efficient vehicles.
Very little relief for firefighters in California.
Right now, we're still seeing triple-digit temperatures, extremely low humidity, and each night we're seeing some winds and actually expecting more down canyon winds coming this Friday, tomorrow.
Daniel Berlant with Cal Fire. 10,000 people remain evacuated in Butte County. Many more may join them. The town of Paradise is still in peril. Alan Toby, Red Cross volunteer at the high school, serving as a shelter for those folks.
The danger is that the fire will leap the Feather River and then affect the towns of Paradise and the surrounding community, which could force an evacuation of as many as 30,000 to 40,000 people.
On the coast, the Big Sur fire, consuming 140 square miles, better than 40% contained. On the floor of Congress today, former presidential candidate Dennis Kucinich reading his article of impeachment of George W. Bush. Wall Street surviving the jump in oil prices today. The Dow up 81. This is CBS News.
All right, so you want to install carpet in how many rooms?
All of them?
Ouch, that hurts.
No, see, it's only $199. Feeling better?
Yeah.
It's time to save big on carpet installation. Right now at the Home Depot, basic installation is just $199. That's any carpet style, all at our everyday low prices, and any number of rooms. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. U.S. only. See store for details, exclusions, and license numbers.
Get the good stuff!
These days, the fastest thing on the road is the rising price at the pump. And when it comes to gas mileage, what you get out of your car depends on what you put into it. Napa Auto Parts can help you get the most out of every gallon with Quaker State conventional motor oil, just $2.19 per quart. Quaker State oils are designed with advanced friction fighters to help increase fuel economy and engine reliability. Napa, get the good stuff.
Get the good stuff!
It's just a piece of paper with some words on it.
In 1969, Gail Renard was a starstruck 16-year-old in Montreal, where John Lennon and Yoko Ono staged their famous bed-in. By a stroke of luck, she struck up a friendship with the celebrity couple. Lennon gave her the cardboard on which he'd written the lyrics to Give Peace a Chance and told her to hang on to it.
He always would insist that I would take things because he said one day they're going to be worth something.
The lyrics certainly were. They sold for $830,000 at Christie's auction house, more than double what was expected.
WBBM reporter Regine Schlesinger in Chicago. They are the mystery feet of British Columbia, five of them washing up on the shores over the past year, and now DNA testing confirms two of the feet are from the same man. The other three are all right feet, and authorities have said they have no reason to believe the cases are related or involved in any wrongdoing, though they're not ruling out any possibilities. I'm Jim Taylor, CBS News.
The world calls us small business owners, but really,
there's nothing small about us. We have big ideas.
We see huge potential. We have
larger than life expectations, which is why we
and millions of other business owners use Visa Business.
Because we do business with a great big world and no other card.
No other card.
No other card is more accepted by it.
Visa Business, used for big ideas. Visit visa.com/smallbusiness.
As the price of gas continues to rise, so does the number of fuel-saving experts. Look, the guys at Advanced Auto Parts aren't scientists inventing hydrogen engines or cellulosic ethanol. They got their PhDs in parts. Stuff like air filters, fuel filters, spark plugs, fuel system cleaners, and other things that make cars run more efficiently. Look, if you really want to save money on gas, go buy a bike. Otherwise, head on over to Advanced Auto Parts. They'll show you how to get more miles per gallon. Whatever you're working on, Advanced will help you keep the wheels turning.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to a fresh edition of the Peter B. Collins Show, originating from the smoky skies of San Francisco. Got lots to talk about, great people to talk with, including you, the listeners of the PBC show. I like to give out the phone number before we even throw out a topic, so you can join the conversation whenever you wish. It's toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. We'll kick off the show in a moment with Faz Shakir from the Center for American Progress. Later this hour, Steve Pizzo will join us. He is a retired journalist. He and others helped break the story about the savings and loan fiasco that included Charlie Keating and John McCain back in the 1980s. And Pizzo blogs daily. It's his constitutional at newsforreal.com. His post yesterday, he called it Stupid Day for Democrats. We'll explain why. Next hour, Scott Dick will join us. He's our regular contributor on military and veterans issues. And Nouri al-Maliki says, please take your troops out of Iraq. And the Bush administration's busy. Well, he doesn't really mean that. He doesn't mean that. He didn't mean that. Well, we're going to air that out with Scott. And we're going to talk about the general on Capitol Hill yesterday, Lloyd Austin, who said that, yes, Iraqi troops are standing up, but we can't stand down or sit down yet. We'll talk about that. And Iran launched some missiles. John McCain is shooting off his mouth about it. He says the solution to protect Israel from Iranian missiles, the Star Wars system that doesn't work, should be installed in Europe. Oh, yeah, that's going to work. Dr. Bill Beeman left Brown University to become the chair of anthropology at the University of Minnesota. He's an expert on the Middle East. We'll talk with him about Iran coming up at the start of the third hour today. And Congressman Dennis Kucinich will be with us in the Free Speech Zone. He's showing courage and initiative once again. introducing an additional article of impeachment in the House today. And as we bring in Faz Shakir, he's co-editor of the Daily Progress Report, research director at the Center for American Progress. And don't forget their active update blog, thinkprogress.org. Faz, welcome. How are you today?
Doing fine, Peter. How are you doing this week?
Well, just moments before we went on the air, I got some information here that I want to check out with you because it gave me a momentary lift. And I have to say, this has been a roller coaster week, Faz.
Yes, it has.
I took that FISA cave-in sellout capitulation really hard.
Yeah.
And I'm one of those bitter elitists who thinks that the Constitution shouldn't be rolled back that way.
Yeah.
But the news I got comes from a website called The Crypt, and this is part of Politico.com, and it says that Nancy Pelosi has modified her position about impeachment. Now, she hasn't retracted her statement that it's off the table, but it appears that it might be in the top drawer because she has allowed a little wiggle room here regarding Kucinich's plan to introduce this additional resolution today. Here's a quote from Pelosi. "This is a Judiciary Committee matter, and I believe we will see some attention being paid to it by the Judiciary Committee. Not necessarily taking up the articles of impeachment because that would have to be approved on the floor, but to have some hearings on the subject. My expectation is that there will be some review of that in the committee." Now, this appears that she's lifted kind of the velvet fist that appeared to be held over committee chair John Conyers. What's your read, Faz?
Yeah, that's exactly my read. We just posted this as well, and I found it pretty interesting. And my speculation here, and this has really no bearing in reality, so take it with a grain of salt, but I think that there must have been some kind of deal worked out here. That's the reason why Kucinich came back and remended his 30-plus articles, I believe.
There were 35. Uh-huh.
35, right. Mm-hmm. And he's amended them to basically boil it down to one, which revolves around the deceit and deception of the administration leading up to Iraq. Mm-hmm. and the Iraqi WMDs. And so I think Pelosi is more comfortable with moving on that matter and quite honestly having hearings on that. You know, that sounds like that's what she's committing to, is having hearings on it. And mm-hmm. Those would be entertaining and fun.
Well, and what I really want out of this, Faz, and we've talked about this before, I'm relatively a pragmatist, and I don't think that there really is the mood, the inclination, the drive to have a trial in the Senate and try to remove these jokers as they're hopefully going to obey the Constitution and leave office in January. But I do think that it's important to lay out the record, to identify what has occurred, hold responsible those that we can tag with the crimes or other violations of their oaths of office and our statutes and Constitution, and at least expose what went on. That's my biggest beef about the FISA law, which is that they're covering up what went on and letting some criminals off the hook.
Yeah, I'm of the same mind, which is that when generations of young kids look back on the Bush administration about 50 to 100 years from now, will they recognize and understand and know the full depth of the lies and the deception that went on, particularly around Iraq, mm-hmm. but also many other things? And they will not know if we know that the administration and the White House and President Bush are going to engage in this massive revisionist history once he leaves office. They're mm-hmm. going to start fighting over his legacy. Mm-hmm. So that battle needs to begin now. I think in that impeachment is one important part of it, particularly when you compare it to what went on during the Clinton years and how, given all the great things that President Clinton did for the nation, and yet one of the sad marks of his record is that he was impeached, President Bush will have gotten off scot-free.
Yeah.
Having done all the things that he did.
Mm-hmm. This Politico article closes with this strong statement. "One thing is clear, however, there will be no move to remove Bush from office despite Pelosi's comments this morning or Kucinich's resolution." Now, I think that is the intention at this time. But, the first person who argued with me about impeachment was Cindy Sheehan. Just before the first Camp Casey, which was back in 2004, Faz, And, you know, she really pried my mind open about it because she said, look, Peter, there wasn't that much support for Nixon's impeachment until the investigations got underway. And essentially his party, the Republicans, didn't have a choice but to recognize the crimes that had been committed. And my hope is, and again, I'm not banking on a Senate trial, but my hope is that the exposure of these issues and the impeachable offense will become a freight train. And whether it rolls, you know, unstoppably down the tracks or not, I'll just be happy to sit back and watch.
I mean, my sense is that there's two things going on. One is that Congress doesn't understand quite how much support there is for this measure amongst the general public.
Mm-hmm.
And then secondly, the general public also doesn't quite understand how much the support there is. I mean, if you look at polls that have been done on this, not that there have been too many of them, but if you look at the ones that have come out over the past few years, they show majority support for impeaching or at least considering impeachment measures. There's when you get to considering it, you're particularly high.
Yeah.
And I remember there was one on Cheney that was very high, and so these are things that the general public has strong feelings about, and I don't think that has been conveyed quite frankly to the Congress. And so if this happens, it will come from the bottom up, which is one of the wonderful things about our system.
Now, Faz, while a lefty might like me looks at this as a possible path to redemption for leaders like Pelosi, who I'm pretty upset with right now, the flip side of it is that, this becomes a potential path for here's what I was trying to say, that it's kind of a potential a backstab to the Bush administration, because we don't know the outlines of it, but the passage of the FISA bill, the most recent supplemental for Iraq, those show me that there's been active coordination back and forth between Democrats and the Republican White House. So now that they gave the president virtually everything he wanted on FISA over my bitter objections, Faz, is the White House going to feel double-crossed if Pelosi lets impeachment on even a corner of the table?
Well, I mean, it's hard to speculate about it. It's hard to get in their minds. Clearly, we know what happened in the Senate. I mean, Senator Harry Reid, even though he voted against it, was quite open about what went on, and that is that there were great negotiations that occurred with Democrats and Republicans in the White House, and he applauded those negotiations, said he was really happy that they occurred, even though he didn't like the final outcome. He continued to parade how wonderful it was that that the White House actually worked with Congress. That was a huge victory for them. And so I think that they're of that mind that, oh, we've now found some consensus and we can start to move some legislation. They're happy about the Medicare bill that passed. And even though President Bush, I believe, is going to veto it, they feel like they're starting to get some ground with the White House in terms of getting them to actually listen to Congress. And I think that is small beans compared to what actually needs to get done. I mean, to take solace in the fact that the White House is actually listening to you or inviting you to meetings is just the absolutely wrong mentality.
Well, I sure agree with that. Faz Shakir with us. We're going to take a break and return and ask the question, where in the world is Karl Rove? He was expected on Capitol Hill today, but he not only skipped out on the hearing, he apparently left the country. We'll get the details on that. And John McCain's recent off-the-mark comments about Social Security. That's coming up next as we continue with Faz Shakir. Get your own copy of the Daily Progress Report. Log on to progressreport.org. Give them your email address, and it'll be there every day. We'll continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540. Visit our website at KRXA540.com.
Most mattress companies equate comfort with padding. That's why they stuff their mattresses full of polyfiber and cheap foam. But fibers break down, padding gets lumpy, and that doesn't spell comfort. The mattresses at SC41 Furniture rely on a far better design. We start with a base of 1,240 pre-compressed motion-sensitive inner spring coils. Over that, we add a layer of highly resilient natural latex. And we finish it with a soft and stretchy cotton cover lined with pure natural wool. The result is unparalleled comfort, coupled with highly responsive support. And if that's not comfy enough, our double coil mattress adds a second layer of 1,500 microcoils for a total of 2,740 inner springs. That's almost three times more than a comparable U.S. mattress. For a better mattress design, come to SC41 Furniture on 41st Avenue, right off Highway 1, across from the Home Depot in Santa Cruz. On the web at sc41.com.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Mandarin and Cantonese food prepared to order every day. The May family invites you to savor authentic Chinese dishes like congee and juke at Jim's Restaurant, 1584 Del Monte in Seaside. Jim's specials are still $5.75 for lunch and $6.75 for dinner per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget, Jim's is tops for takeout and catering too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117. Does it seem like the service is lacking at most service stations? Not at Mid-Valley Valero and Shell on Carmel Valley Road. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell offer complete auto repair, smog inspections, major brand tires, 30, 60, and 90,000 mile service checks, complete brake work, and fix any electrical problems. They even provide environmentally friendly auto detailing. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell use only the highest quality original and aftermarket auto parts. Call Mid-Valley Valero and Shell at 831-624-0722. That's 624-0722. Remember, for all your automobile needs, only Mid-Valley Valero and Shell will do. Locally owned, Mid-Valley Valero and Shell. Putting the service back in service stations.
This is Solazar.
Hi, I'm Carolani.
Join us this Sunday at 6 p.m. for Good Vibrations, Tools for Transformation.
Together, we'll transform your relationships, communication, health, and the ability to reach your goals and dreams.
Good Vibrations, Sunday at 6 p.m. on AM 540 KRXA.
And keep it up for the Peter B. Collins Show. 22 minutes after the hour, as we continue with Faz Shakir, Research Director at the Center for American Progress, co-editor of their Daily Progress Report. And Faz, where is Karl Rove, and where can we find him?
Well, he's skipped the country, Peter. We don't know exactly where he is, but we learned that he's not in the country today when he was when he refused to appear before the House Judiciary Committee, and he had been subpoenaed by them. And Representative Chris Cannon from Utah disclosed that Karl Rove was not in the country. And Representative Linda Sanchez from California announced that she didn't know that, and that fact had never been relayed to the committee, that the committee had simply been told that Rove was not going to appear because of some executive privilege claim, but not that he was going to skip the country.
So is he, you know, offering political advice to Robert Mugabe right now? Or
it's complete. completely unclear exactly what country he's in. But we did call, and you know, I had a couple of my people call Carl Rove's attorney today, and we did confirm that Rove is not in the country.
Mm-hmm. So what is Sanchez going to do about this?
Well, so they talked about holding a contempt vote later this month, and John Conyers said that he's going to give 5 days to Rove to comply with the subpoena, and if they don't, then they're going to hold a contempt vote for later in July.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we'll see if that produces an appearance. It's interesting that current White House officials, like the arrogant and abrasive David Addington, managed to come up the hill to dish out a lot of attitude, so at least he showed up.
Right.
Carl Rove doesn't work there anymore. What basis does he claim executive privilege?
Well, he doesn't. And actually, a blogger named Marcy Wheeler has dug into this a little bit closer and has found that even in the letter that his attorney provided to the Judiciary Committee, nowhere in that letter does it actually cite the words executive privilege. But yet all the media outlets are reporting as executive privilege because there's been a game of charades being played here that they want to claim, they want the public to believe that this is about executive privilege, but they know that they have no grounds to assert it. So in their letter, they talk about what Bush is, what the White House wants, what the White House desires, and he's going to try to respect the White House's desires. But nowhere does it actually say executive privilege.
Mm-hmm. Faz, your lead story at the Progress Report today is about John McCain's remarkable comments about Social Security. And he seems to be overlooking that Bush used that political capital that he said he stole in the 2004 election to try to pass some amorphous form of Social Security reform. There was never an actual proposal, just a barnstorming tour like a campaign as Bush tried to fear everybody up about it and say, well, we got to privatize the accounts. And, of course, the performance of the stock market has shown that if we'd all privatized our accounts when Bush said we could, we'd be in worse financial shape than we actually are.
Yeah, and I guess having not learned the lesson, McCain seems to be pledging to go down the same road once more and is hewing to the far-right wing who wants to privatize Social Security. You know, if I could remark just quickly, this has been a horrible week for John McCain. I mean, he called Social Security an absolute disgrace. Then Phil Graham, his top economic advisor, says Americans are a bunch of, quote, whiners, and that this is simply a mental recession that people are experiencing. We have the Iraqi leaders saying that they want American troops out. McCain responds by saying, "Nope, I don't think that's what the Iraqis want. We got to stay." You know, there's so many things that he remember the veteran in Denver who challenged McCain on his voting record. Then you got McCain joking about bomb or killing Iranians with cigarettes. I mean, there are a whole list of things that just, you go down the list this week. They're horrible events for him, and yet I don't think the media narrative is picking that up.
This is Steve Schmidt's first week on the job. He's trying to manage Mr. Straight Talk.
It's a rough job trying to keep that talk straight.
Yeah, we're going to play, thank you for the mention there of the veteran who confronted him. We're going to play the clip off Think Progress next hour when Scott Dick is with us and get some comments on that. But I agree with you. McCain is kind of coming off the tracks. But once again, the media tends to give him the benefit of the doubt, let the excuses and the corrections take place. And it's frustrating in that way.
Well, you know, the media does a wonderful job of protecting him. Every time he gets into trouble, I mean, even we were watching the coverage of his joke about the Iranian cigarettes, and everyone came out and said, oh, you know, that's trademark John McCain wit. That's him being funny. That's classic McCain, you know, just joking about killing Iranians. And then same, you know, we've been tracking a lot of this, but, you know, McCain's barbecues, there's all kinds of things that the reporters just feel like anytime he comes under attack, they've got to stick up for their guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is amazing. Faz, another item that's in the Progress Report today that caught my attention is that there was an interesting exchange between Attorney General Mukasey and Joe Biden. And Biden was trying to get him to characterize whether the Justice Department was politicized when Mukasey took over from Alberto Gonzalez. And he got Mukasey kind of spinning right there in his magic chair.
Yeah, I mean, the most poignant statement made by Biden, and I think it captures really everything that we believe about Michael Mukasey. He said, Joe Biden says to Mukasey, you sound like a State Department guy. You make a heck of a diplomat. You you really are an enigma to me. I find it very difficult to understand you. I mean, I think that that is true for all of us. I mean, Mukasey was billed as this straight-talking maverick kind of guy, right, just like John McCain. And here he comes covering up for Alberto Gonzalez, sticking up for torture, doing all the kinds of things he said he wasn't going to do. And, yeah, he's very difficult to understand.
And he's been busy building stone walls everywhere he can. Pat Shakir, thank you very much. We'll talk to you again next week.
Thank you.
And log on to progressreport.org. Get the Progress Report for yourself.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood File. I'm Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network. My mother used to tell my brother and sister and me that fish was brain food. She also used to give us a spoonful of cod liver oil every day. It tasted just awful, but that was supposed to be brain food, too. Mom had no knowledge, no special training, but it was folk wisdom more than 70 years ago that these things were nourishing for the brain. But is there really such a thing as brain food? Is there anything we can eat or anything we can do that will make our brains work better? Fernando Gomez Pinilla, a professor of neurosurgery and physiological science at UCLA, has compiled a new review of the latest research. And the answer is yes. Folk wisdom isn't always wise, but it was in this case. Gomez Pinilla says food is like a pharmaceutical compound that affects the brain. And omega-3 fatty acids positively affect the expression of several molecules related to memory and learning. What do you know? Mom was right. More after this.
Did you know that Geico insures more than cars? It's true. They cover tons of other things, like hot air balloons, unicycles, and roller skates. Nah, I'm just messing with you. But Geico can help insure lots of other vehicles, though, like motorcycles, RVs, ATVs, personal watercraft, boats, and pogo sticks. I'm only kidding about the pogo sticks, but seriously, just so there's no confusion, Geico now offers insurance on more than just your car.
Geico, saving you money on insurance for your car and the other stuff that moves you. Visit Geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO.
I didn't need the pills for pain anymore. I just needed them.
Millions struggle to overcome opioid dependence on prescription painkillers.
If you're like I was, turn to help.
Call 866-455-TURN. Learn about medical treatments for opioid dependence that help control withdrawal symptoms.
I had another chance, privately in a doctor's office.
Call 866-455-TURN or visit turntohelp.com and click on Locate a Physician. Sponsored by Reckitt Benckiser Pharmaceuticals.
Eating too much, especially of the wrong things, like junk food, puts excess calories into your body, which, according to Dr. Gomez Pinilla, can reduce the flexibility of the synapses of the brain. Controlled meal skipping or intermittent caloric restriction can protect the brain from the damage done by free radicals. Antioxidants, like blueberries, seem to be beneficial for the brain's molecules, he says. You know, in the summer, when we were kids, we used to pick blueberries and eat them from our grandparents' backyard in Marshfield, Massachusetts. Maybe that's why we're so smart. Dr. Gomez Pinilla goes on to say that sleep and exercise are also important to the brain. Do I get enough sleep? No. Do I get enough exercise? No, not enough. Maybe that's why sometimes I'm not so smart. The point is that your brain is definitely affected by what we do and what we eat. The Osgood File. Transcripts, podcasts, and MP3s of these programs can be found at theosgoodfile.com. Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Debbie LaSala from LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli at 250 Casa Verde Way in Monterey. Buy Right has been a family-owned Monterey Bay treasure since 1938. Hungry for delicious sandwiches? Join the many LaSala regulars who love our tasty, hearty sandwiches prepared with fresh-baked Palermo bread. Eat in or grab on the run at LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli. Whatever your choice, we at LaSala's will greet you with Mon Pa hospitality and truly awesome meals. And remember, sandwich trays are also available for meetings and parties. LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli is located on the west side of Highway 1, exiting at 250 Casa Verde Way and going just past the first stop sign. For more information, call 372-6824. That's 372-6824. LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli. A Mon Pa treasure at your service for 70 years.
Live.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Writer, blogger, raconteur Steve Pizzo joins me this half hour on the Peter B. Collins Show, and he's asking the question, was yesterday Democratic Party stupid day?
Smiling faces sometimes pretend to be your friend. Smiling faces show no traces of the evil that lurks within. Smiling faces sometimes they don't tell the truth. Smiling faces tell lies, and I got proof. Oh Lord, yeah.
I'll dedicate this to Jay Rockefeller and Orrin Hatch. Orrin Hatch reached a new metaphorical low in the Senate debate about FISA. He said, yeah, the president was just trying to set up a smoke detector for terrorists, and the liberals wanted to take the batteries out of it. Steve Pizzo joins me now. He blogs at newsforreal.com, and he and I have known each other for many years. He helped blow open the savings and loan scandal back in the 1980s that touched on people like Charlie Keating and John McCain.
How you doing, Peter?
Not bad, Steve. How are you today?
Well, fine, but things seem to have gotten just worser and worser since the last time we spoke.
Well, it really is. Words sometimes escape me here as I try to describe this without being melodramatic, but
I know.
I really feel a sense of personal loss at the FISA vote and the condescension that was involved in patting the American people on the head and saying, don't worry about your Fourth Amendment. We know what's best for you.
Well, the Republicans wanted this bill in the bag before Democrats retook the White House, first of all. So that was their motive, because they knew that after January 2009, nothing like this was going to happen. The Democrats, the 21 Democrats that voted for this thing, simply voted for it because they wanted it off the table during this election. They didn't want to give the Republicans a tool to bash them over the head as being weak on terrorism. So that's why they decided to that it was worth gutting the Fourth Amendment for their own political survival. It was a dark day. And as I said in my blog, for the U.S. Congress, this was their Dred Scott decision.
Mm-hmm.
And it will stay with them forever. It was a day of constitutional infamy. And I don't think there's any way of overstating it, Peter. And I know those of us, like, you know, you and I on the left here, tend to be accused of flinging around a lot of superlatives, and I'm sure I'm guilty of that from time to time. I know you're not.
but thanks for the absolution.
Yeah, there isn't a superlative in my dictionary that I can find that fits.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, you just described the political calculation, that they wanted to get it out of the way so it wasn't an issue in the campaign in the fall. But I believe that the inverse is true, that if in particular Barack Obama had championed this issue and used it as the symbol of a return to constitutional power and a dismissal of the fear-mongering of the Bush administration, which has been quite pervasive and quite effective.
It's only one reason that Barack Obama is where he is today, and that is because he was talking like that before today and before yesterday. Voters heard a new voice. They heard someone who was telling them, listen, I understand what we've been through for the last 12 years ever since Contract with America and this Orwellianization of the public dialogue over, you know, what's peace, war is peace, surveillance is freedom. I understand what you've been through, and I'm going to run a different kind of campaign, and I'm going to run a different kind of government.
No sooner did he bag the nomination that he started to do a two-step to the right on the faith-based nonsense to attract some of the biblically lobotomized out there, and then he does another little two-step on FISA, and then just a little two-step on troop withdrawals from Iraq, all to the right, and all very calculated. I mean, Hillary lost not because she was a woman, but because people saw her as a triangulating politician, a typical hack.
Mm-hmm.
And isn't it ironic that he voted, as I said in my blog today, he voted for this bill for the same reason Hillary Clinton voted for the Iraq War. And look what it did to her. These kind of political calculations are transparent now because of the Internet, and people get it. They understand it. They forward it. and I just don't know who's gotten into the Obama campaign or whether maybe he was always this way. Maybe we were just fooled again. And if that happens, Peter, I'm going to tell you, it wouldn't just break my heart. It's going to break the hearts of a whole new generation of voters who, for the first time, looked up and said, now there's somebody worth voting for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is troubling because, like you just described, I chose Obama over Clinton because I thought he would be slightly different. I have never been confused that he's as progressive as Denis Kucinich or as populist as John Edwards, but I gave him credit for carving out a zone for himself that was, not just a Me Too approach. And I have acknowledged over the months since I first saw him speak in 2006 that he is a remarkable man on whom we tend to project our explicit views because his generalized statements permit us to assume that, he's talking about change and he's criticizing a specific issue of the Bush administration. Therefore, he agrees with my policy solution to that. And so many of us have projected onto a relatively blank slate our own ideas and our own aspirations. And so some of that is our fault. But these shifts in position, where he criticized the Supreme Court, the one good decision that I agreed with, where they rejected the death penalty for child rapists in Louisiana, and they set a floor for the death penalty. It basically said, if nobody died in the crime, you cannot execute the criminal.
Right.
And
right.
I think that's reasonable. I'm a guy who's completely opposed to capital punishment. But
well, I mean, it's similar to the decision that the Supreme Court made in Roe versus Wade, where they said, look, we got to set a floor here, so it's 26 weeks. You know? And it's 26 weeks, and after that, you can't, states can pass laws against late-term abortions, and that's been the law of the land ever since. The Supreme Court, in the case you're talking about, set a similar benchmark where it simply said, below this point, it's obscene, it's cruel and unusual punishment.
Mm-hmm.
But he was again pandering, clearly, transparently, Hillary Clinton-esquely.
Yep.
to the right.
And Steve, with Hillary's vote, the right vote on FISA yesterday, I had this moment of, wow, and I got some emails from people. Is it too late?
But you and I both know that had she won the nomination, she'd have voted like he did.
Probably, yep.
No, I absolutely know that.
Steve Pizzo here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Check out his blog. He writes every day, and it's a pretty interesting look into his twisted mind. Newsforreal.com. That's newsforreal.com. Let's talk to Jim in San Francisco. Hi, Jim. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show with Stephen Pizzo.
Yeah. Hi. This is kind of an interesting situation because I just saw online that Kucinich is going to read one article of impeachment today.
That's right.
Not the whole list.
That's right. And Jim, Congressman Kucinich will be on the air with us at in our third hour, and for the live broadcast today, that's 5:30 Pacific time.
Oh, that's great because I'm a little skeptical. And after your last conversation there about how they betrayed us on FISA,
mm-hmm.
who can be blamed for being skeptical? Are they throwing us a bone? Or is this an amazingly strategic move that they have some really heavy evidence on this one article, and they want to get the media focused on it?
Well, Jim, what I explained, the latest we read from the Politico, which is about an hour old, is that Pelosi has cracked the door and said that Conyers can, you know, listen to these articles and discuss them in the committee. It does appear that she doesn't want to see it leading to a trial in the Senate, but my feeling is that I'm willing to accept at least phase one, which is that the articles get discussed and the committee reviews them and evidence may be gathered or presented. I am most interested in chronicling the misdeeds and the lawbreaking of the Bush administration, and if we can have accountability too, hey, that'd be great.
I agree with you, and so you're clarifying now that the hearings are definitely going to take place, because the media was a little bit vague about it.
No, it is still vague, and we'll get clarification from Dennis Kucinich later today if he has it. But that's where it stands right now. Steve Pizzo, you got a comment?
Professor Jonathan Turley of George University in Washington said on MSNBC yesterday, and I mean, this guy knows his constitutional law, that another reason the Republicans were so anxious to get this in the bag is because they know, and the White House knows, that the president committed three specific felonies involved in this, and they needed that off the table.
Mm-hmm. Well, Turley's exchange with Rachel Maddow on MSNBC when she sat in for Keith Olbermann was excellent, and it's available at different websites. I encourage people to check it out, because she was very strong in her point of view in reporting the events, and Turley's analysis was just dead on. What he said was that the United States Senate was the equivalent of 100 witnesses to a crime who chose not only to do nothing about the crime, but actually to move to exonerate those who they witnessed in this crime.
They drove the getaway car.
Yeah, yeah. Jim, did you have another comment?
No, that's excellent. I'm so glad that all these things are happening. It's encouraging.
Stay tuned, all right?
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Better late than never, huh?
Steve Pizzo, in your post today at News for Real, you enumerated two other issues that caused you to conclude that it was stupid day for the Democrats. Let's tackle number one right now.
Yeah, Nancy Pelosi. Miss impeachment's off the table. She decided that the Democrats needed an energy policy here during this campaign season, and so since the Republicans have been coming up with one crackpot non-solution after another, she figured the Democrats needed a crackpot non-solution, and so she came up with tapping the emergency oil reserves to lower the price of oil. Now, that's wrong on so many levels, I don't even know where to begin. Right now, alternative energy sources like solar and wind are just now becoming competitive economically with oil. And that happened when oil hit $4 a gallon. Lower the price of oil, and Americans, we are crack addicts when it comes to oil, will go right back to our lackadaisical SUV living lives. So she was wrong on that. Also, it's only a 90-day supply in there. What are you going to do after that's gone? And besides, the strategic reserve is just that. It's a strategic reserve. If we end up with another war and oil gets cut off in the Middle East, we're going to need every drop that's in that mountain.
Yeah. Well, and I agree with your commentary here, because it is pandering. It is an attempt to counter the gas tax holiday that McCain and Clinton were campaigning on just a few weeks ago. And you're right. It feeds the addiction. It doesn't help break it. And my fear is that the Democrats, who got skunked last year, if you remember, the energy bill had a windfall profit tax for oil companies, and that revenue was supposed to be diverted into development of alternative energy sources, and both of those were stripped out of the bill, but not the $25 billion in insurance guarantees for construction of new nuclear power plants.
Right, and they have no place to put the radioactive waste for the ones we have now.
Sure, and my fear is that the Democrats are going to do some kind of a trade-off on offshore drilling bans in exchange for something as silly as this strategic reserves access.
You know, it's interesting. There's been criticism of Bush during this whole war on many fronts, but one of the criticisms that always resonated with me was he never asked the American people to sacrifice.
Yep.
You go out, go shopping. That was his solution to world problems, go shopping. Americans are starving. starved for someone to come up and say, listen, I know what you want to hear, but here's what you've got to hear, because the polar ice caps are melting. We're running out of oil. The whole world economy runs on this black crap. We got to get off of it. It's going to kill us, or it's going to kill our economies, or both. Now, you know, I tell you, there'd be such a groundswell of people saying, what can I do? I put solar panels on my roof in November. You know what my electric bill was last month? -$7.32.
Oh, you're hurting me.
Well, I'm going to tell you, this is the kind of technology that's ready right there to be deployed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, T. Boone Pickens, a man who was nursed on oil, a child, is now pushing a huge program for wind power and financing it himself.
We're going to take a break and return with Stephen Pizzo. And we've got the live feed from the Fox News Channel Green Room, where Jesse Jackson is standing by. More in a moment here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You can join our rambling conversation. Please do. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And if you're listening on the weekend in Portland, Seattle, or Missoula, drop me an email, peter@peterbcollins.com.
News, commentary, and your phone calls. If it's happening in America, it'll be right here on 540 AM Radio, KRXA.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
The staff and management of Natura Vita welcome all to the new Natura Vita store and restaurant at 650 East Laurel Drive in North Salinas. Learn firsthand about traditional and modern natural health products and practices while enjoying delicious and healthy food in a fun, clean, and family-friendly atmosphere. Smoothies, anyone? Come to the new Natura Vita store and restaurant, conveniently located at 650 East Laurel Drive in North Salinas.
Come here, Max. What's wrong?
Ruff.
What?
Ruff.
Oh, I get it. A rough day?
Ruff, ruff.
Hi, I'm Dr. Annetta Richmond, inviting you to Natural Veterinary Therapy in Pacific Grove, the peninsula's new holistic veterinary medicine clinic featuring a wide variety of natural treatments and remedies for common ailments. We also specialize in acupuncture, chiropractic, and physical rehabilitation using an underwater treadmill. Natural Veterinary Therapy, Lighthouse Avenue between 14th and 15th in Pacific Grove. Our environment is unique. Clients comment on how calm and caring it is for their pets and themselves. At Natural Veterinary Therapy, our goal is to help your pet heal from within. So think for yourself and think for your pets. Visit our website at naturalveterinarytherapy.com or call 655-0501. That's 655-0501.
Meow. Whiskers, I'd better call Dr. Richmond for you, too.
Meow, meow.
Genocide comes in thousands of forms. We think Rwanda, Darfur, the Holocaust, the American Indian. Genocide is much, much more. Voice your thoughts on the Bob Oliver Show, The Quantum Leap, Saturday, 9 p.m. on KRXA 540. Think for yourself.
Rwanda, Rwanda, yeah, yeah. Rwanda, Rwanda.
show. I pulled this out of the PBC tax-deductible music archives just for our guest Steve Pizzo. It's a tribute to patriotism post 9/11. All right, let's spell it together.
S-H-O-P-I-N-G.
We're shopping. Sorry, Steve, what'd you say?
No, that's going to be stuck in my head all day, see? Thanks.
That's a musical confection. Yeah, it is. It is hard to get rid of, no doubt about that. Well, your third item in the agenda of Democratic Stupid Day was the report of Jesse Jackson, who didn't know his mic was hot when he was on the set at Fox News. And first of all, you dinged him for being there to begin with.
Well, yeah, and by the way, this is I didn't know my mic was hot, Mr. Hymietown, remember him?
yeah, I remember that.
He would have thought that he'd have learned the first time about mics, but... But my word, he was at Fox News. First of all, he shouldn't have been there to begin with, but if you're at Fox News, you don't sit there and blather about stuff that would be useful to the neo-fascists that run Fox News.
So you mean you wouldn't badmouth Obama and say that you're going to cut his nuts off about it?
Yeah. Listen, here's the deal with Jesse Jackson. He and Bill Clinton have something in common. They both got in trouble during this campaign. And they got in trouble for the same reason. And the reason is this. These two guys cannot get over the fact that this young black man from Chicago is now the top dog in the party they used to be able to jerk around anytime they wanted. They are now the old Democratic Party, and he's now in charge of their party.
Yeah.
And neither one of them can get over that.
Mm-hmm.
So while Jesse Jackson pays lip service to supporting Obama's campaign, he hates him.
Well, and even when he knows the mic is hot, Steve, Jackson can't help but shoot from the lip. And just give you a quick example, if you go way back to the Gray Davis recall here in California, the day before that election, Jesse Jackson was being pushed on every media outlet, and I said, okay, I'll talk to him. So he gets on the air, he's on a cell phone, it's kind of hard to communicate back and forth. But I said, Reverend Jackson, Gray Davis stands for things that you don't believe in. There isn't a progressive bone in his body. He's bought and paid for by every corporate interest in the state, and you're out campaigning for him. And he said, I'll try to imitate his voice here, but I'm not trying to mock him Rush Limbaugh style. He said, well... He said, Gray Davis ain't nothing but a bump on a stump. And that's what he thought was going to help him beat the recall.
Yeah. Well, at least for once he was being honest.
Colonel Terry in Monterey. Hello, Colonel. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Peter, I have the just highest regard for you. Your program is excellent, and you really are trying to improve the country and its knowledge level.
Well, thank you. I'm doing what I can.
But and on KRXA is the local station I hear in the Monterey area, and I just highly applaud it and Hal and the team. But let me say a couple of really relevant things. Mr. Vizo, I really respect your information and your learnedness, but let me very politely, appropriately disagree with you. At the outset of the interview, you indicated that Bill Clinton was impeached somewhat unfairly, or it's unfair for him to have been impeached and Bush to remain, let us hope not, unimpeached. I fully agree with you that Bush and Cheney and the Cheney-Bush administration is gone to criminality, to new heights, and should be investigated appropriately and prosecuted appropriately. And I hope that happens for all the obvious reasons to an informed listener and citizen. But let me indicate to you also, I happen to observe the Clintons at close range, both on and off campus at the White House. And I will tell you, Bill Clinton is a despicable disgrace to the country. He used the White House offices during business hours for not one, but at least seven or nine, you know, sexual treatments for Monica that anybody, any other federal employee would have been removed in a heartbeat for.
Mm-hmm.
More significantly, he lied about it under oath, committing clear perjury. His wife is a trained attorney. She knew he committed perjury. More significantly, after And during his administration, Clinton engaged in corruption as well.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of obvious examples are the Mark Rich and related pardons.
Mm-hmm. Well, and all the fundraising
addition,
for his library, which we don't know about.
The Clintons have made after they were in office. He was in office.
I don't disagree
with Colonel. I will be happy to provide other details.
Terry, hold on, because we only have 30 seconds. Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you at all. And as a reporter who covered the Clintons, I, too, saw some of this up close and personal. And Bill Clinton didn't deserve to be impeached. He deserved a good dope slap. But the Bush administration, Cheney and Bush, richly deserve to be impeached. And if they aren't impeached or charged with crimes after they leave office, they will have set a precedent for this country and the world that we cannot live with.
Steve Pizzo, newsforreal.com. And Colonel Terry, thanks for calling today. Call us again. I'd love to talk with you more. Thanks for joining us this hour on the PBC Show. We're talking with Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. Veronique, you started the company more than 30 years ago, and was it partly because you were getting headaches from wine?
Absolutely. I'm an extremely chemically sensitive person, and there were no wines, no conventionally grown wines, that I could really drink and enjoy until I accidentally tasted my grandfather's wine and discovered, to my extreme surprise, that I could drink those wines without getting headaches. More and more people suffer the results of the accumulation of toxic substances in our environment, and our tolerance is getting really strained, and therefore it takes a very little amount of a toxic substance for them to start have an unpleasant experience.
Learn more about the Organic Wine Company on the web at ecowine.com. That's ecowine.com. To place an order or ask a question, call 888-ECO-WINE. Toll free, that's 1-888-ECO-WINE. Tell them Peter B. sent you.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Oil prices are rising again.
This has been a tough dog to keep under the porch.
At the Beleaguered Food and Drug Administration, bonuses.
A combined $1 million to 28 senior FDA executives.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. It was good while it lasted. The oil price slide ended today as crude jumped more than $5 to settle in New York at $141.34 a barrel. Analyst Peter Butel describes upward price pressure as a tough dog to keep under the porch. So who let the dog out today?
We had OPEC coming out with a monthly report, and one of the things that it spoke about was OPEC's potential unwillingness to increase capacity beyond 2012.
Add to that the market's nervousness about tension in the Middle East, with Iran claiming to have tested more missiles today. High gasoline prices have suddenly and drastically changed the auto market, and even Toyota is not immune. At its San Antonio truck plant, Toyota will suspend production of the slow-selling Tundra pickup for 3 months. The Princeton, Indiana plant that builds Sequoia SUVs will also take a pause. And company spokesman Mike Goss says Toyota's decided to start producing the Prius in the United States.
It allows us to adjust to Americans' increasing preference for hybrid vehicles and more fuel-efficient vehicles.
The Prius owns the marketplace. No one else has a vehicle that has anywhere near the appeal of the Toyota Prius.
Keith Crane of Automotive News Magazine. The hybrid Prius gets 46 miles to the gallon. Toyota hasn't been able to make them fast enough to keep up with demand. Now this.
All right, so you want to install carpet in how many rooms?
All of them.
Ouch, that hurts.
No, see, it's only $199. Feeling better?
Yeah.
It's time to save big on carpet installation. Right now at the Home Depot, basic installation is just $199. That's any carpet style, all at our everyday low prices, and any number of rooms. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. U.S. only. See store for details, exclusions, and license numbers.
A message from the Orbitz Traveler Wellness Center.
Hello, Dr. Martin Pakulski-Blatz here. I just want to tell you about the Orbitz Great American Sale, where you can save 30% on hotels in great American cities. So get going, because really, is there anything more American than America? No, there isn't. So head over to Orbitz.com today and save.
Valid for travel 778 through 1124. Book by 831. Wait, see site for details.
When it comes to controversial federal agencies, the Food and Drug Administration is second only to FEMA, but that hasn't stopped FDA officials from rewarding themselves. CBS News correspondent Nancy Cordes reports.
Over the past year, Congress has accused the Food and Drug Administration of mishandling health scares from pet food to heparin, Avandia, now to tomatoes. However, in that same time period, the FDA awarded its top executives a combined $1 million in bonuses. That means the top 28 executives received an average of $35,000 in additional compensation. And now Congress is investigating, saying that's just too much for an agency that they frequently refer to as broken.
The head of the FDA says the bonuses are necessary to retain highly capable technical experts. The agency is still trying to find the source of the salmonella outbreak that sickened more than 1,000 people. Tomatoes have been suspected for weeks, but now the net has widened to include jalapeno peppers and cilantro. One top official says the investigation is more complicated than anything he's worked on at the FDA. Passed yesterday by the Senate, the new terrorist surveillance bill was signed today by President Bush.
The bill will allow our intelligence professionals to quickly and effectively monitor the communications of terrorists abroad, while respecting the liberties of Americans here at home.
Not everyone accepts that. The American Civil Liberties Union and other groups have filed suit to block the law. Jamil Jaffer of the ACLU says it gives the government the power to conduct dragnet surveillance.
U.S. citizens and residents have a reasonable expectation of privacy in their international communications, and that any law that gives the government access to those communications must include safeguards to protect the rights of innocent people.
The new law shields telecommunications companies from lawsuits when they cooperate with U.S. intelligence. The battle goes on in California.
With the weather being so challenging and these winds and low humidity, it really makes our job challenging.
State Forestry spokesman Daniel Berland says their number one priority is the fire in Butte County, which has destroyed at least 50 homes and forced the evacuation of 3,800 homes today. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
All right, so you want to install carpet in how many rooms?
All of them.
Ouch, that hurts.
No, see, it's only $199. Feeling better?
Yeah.
It's time to save big on carpet installation. Right now at the Home Depot, basic installation is just $199. That's any carpet style, all at our everyday low prices, and any number of rooms. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. U.S. only. See store for details, exclusions, and license numbers.
Get the good stuff!
These days, the fastest thing on the road is the rising price at the pump. And when it comes to gas mileage, what you get out of your car depends on what you put into it. Napa Auto Parts can help you get the most out of every gallon with Quaker State conventional motor oil, just $2.19 per quart. Quaker State oils are designed with advanced friction fighters to help increase fuel economy and engine reliability. Napa, get the good stuff.
Get the good stuff!
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
So my question is, did somebody put Spearhead on Malachi's iPod?
Those who start wars, never fight them. Those who fight wars, I never like them. Those who write laws, I can't recite them. Who just fight laws, we live and die them. But I know they're never gonna tell you why, no. They only wanna tell you lies, no. Never ever gonna tell you why, no. They only wanna tell you lies, no. Never ever gonna tell you why, no. They only wanna tell you lies, it's time.
Anybody at the Language Institute know Arabic for time to go home?
Time to go home, to take our boys away, no. To take our girls away, no. To take our boys away, no. Take our girls, time to
Yes, earlier this week, Nouri al-Maliki, the puppet leader of Iraq, chosen by Americans, said it's time for America to set a date to get the hell out of Iraq. And while I find that encouraging, the response on these shores is, oh, he doesn't really mean it. Oh, it wasn't translated properly. Every week about this time, we spend this hour with Scott Dick, our contributor on military and veterans issues. He served in the Marine Corps and then retired from the Army at the rank of major, and he is now a major talk show host on KRXA 540 in Monterey, follows me every evening there. Scott, how you doing?
I'm doing fine, Peter. Other than the smoke and the fires that surround us, I'm doing great.
Well, I'm glad that your home isn't threatened, and we have some progress in the fires, and I hope we can continue that. Scott, I wanted to ask you about this remark. It's a series of comments that are coming from the Baghdad government. And it's interesting, this week I've been sitting in late night on Air America for John Elliott, and one of his regular features is a report from Ellen Ratner of Talk Radio News Service. She happens to have been in the United Arab Emirates this week, and so she was reporting from there, and she was able to provide real-time Arab news accounts of the first comments from Maliki and then the clarifications that were issued by his underlings. And it's very clear what Maliki said. He wants to hear what the plans are for an exit strategy from the United States, and he wants a date certain. He wants a timeline for withdrawal. And this has thrown the White House into a bit of a tizzy, because both Bush and McCain are on record as saying that if we're asked to leave, well, we're not going to stay at the party after we've been asked to go home.
Especially since they have not yet declared victory, although a lot of the surrogates, the right-wing nuts, have all declared victory or are on the verge of victory. General Petraeus is not allowing his staff to use those phrases, by the way. But it was reported by Thompson Financial News from Baghdad, Thompson Financial from Baghdad, that he had indeed asked for either a timetable for withdrawal or a framework of.
Well, and in fact, he asked for both.
Exactly. So the idea was they're not going to get away with – here it is. Sorry. The direction we were taking is to have a memorandum of understanding either for the departure of the forces or to have a timetable for withdrawal. So it's both. It's troops will be leaving. Now, what do you do with these pesky puppet governments? And what has the United States done in the past with pesky puppet governments that we put in place? Well, we've had a coup and had them killed. I'm thinking of Diem from Vietnam.
Right. We slice them off at the knees or somewhere above.
So he should, you know, probably make sure the detail is, you know, doubled.
Because, well, come on,
he have any coups.
He's got a Blackwater security detail.
Oh boy. So you know, all jokes aside, McCain and Bush both have said that, and now here is the Bush solution. The Bush solution is to say have one of his cronies come out and say, well, it was a transcription error. We're not really sure he's asking. Although I'm sure they could pick up the phone and ask him. And McCain is just to deny that Maliki ever said that, just to say, no, he didn't.
Well, and there is a White House video link. The president has told us many times that he visits with Maliki over the secure video conferencing system. So he could hook up with the puppet anytime he wants.
Exactly. So the so-called transcription error is, that's got to be one of the more laughable ones. But the one that really concerns me, this expert on foreign policy, this expert on national security policy, this expert on the Middle East, just says, no, he didn't. I mean, that's incredible, Peter.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a guy running for president of the United States, and what I've said before is that he is part and parcel of this very important effort to whitewash the Bush administration and their policies. Because once those are accepted as acceptable, John McCain becomes more acceptable to the average American. The second part of that is to take a mediocre senator and turn him into presidential material. And it's so far, when he says stuff like this, he just refuses to accept the fact that Maliki said there was either a timetable or some, you know, facet of departure.
Mm-hmm.
It really surprises me. No, it doesn't surprise me, but it's shocking to me the American media hasn't picked up on this and said, wait, John McCain said no, they didn't, but yet Maliki's saying, yes, we did. and it hasn't gone away, and they haven't backed off of that.
And Scott, Dick, I want to say something here for a minute, because whenever we get into these kinds of conversations, I think it's important for someone like me who has opposed this war since before it started and has been a sharp critic of the administration and has declared this war a failure that does not have a route to military victory. I am not the kind of person who hopes for failure, who wants to see more death and destruction, to see more Americans die. I want to see this ended as quickly and cleanly as can possibly occur. And so as I look at these developments, where we are led to believe, and I say that advisedly because I don't think it's all true, but we're led to believe that the surge is working, that violence over the, you know, the big picture violence in Iraq is down, that they're telling us the Iranians have been sending fewer IEDs and other types of weapons into Iraq, and they're trying to claim that the armed forces in Iraq are moving toward readiness. We'll get into that in a subsequent segment here. But the picture they paint for us is that great progress is being made. And yet here is an invitation for us not to leave tomorrow, but to set a reasonable plan to exit Iraq and hand off that country to the people who live there. And we're seeing that that's not the outcome that Bush and McCain are hoping for.
Well, there's a couple of reasons for that, Peter. First of all, I have to say, you don't really need to say that. I don't think there's anybody, contrary to what the Fox Network says and all the right-wing talking heads that are ultra-conservatives, or I shouldn't say conservatives, ultra-something, ultra-warmongers, I don't think anybody prays for our defeat and our soldiers, the sailors, et cetera, to be killed. This was idiotic. They didn't finish the job in Afghanistan. They started this. They attacked a country that did us no harm, and we're bogged down in Iraq. Having said that, it would take at least, from my experience, a month per brigade. If you just waved the green flag and said go, it would take a month for a brigade to get out of Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
So how many brigades we have there, how many months it's going to take. And that's if we leave a bunch of equipment there. If we take that equipment out, it's going to take even longer, about, you know, probably 6 weeks, 6 or 7 weeks. So it's going to be a detailed withdrawal because we can't afford, unlike the old days, just to dump all the equipment there. We don't have the money to replace it.
Mm-hmm.
So there's not going to be any precipitous withdrawal. And then for John McCain, do you have that sound clip?
I have it ready for you any moment.
Okay, because he was asked, Senator, with Iraqi leaders now calling for a timetable for U.S. troop withdrawals, and then he interrupts the questioner. I don't know, he makes this really, it's not crazy, Peter, but it's very strange. It's an absolute denial of reality. So is he doing the same thing that Bush did? We create our own reality by just denying the facts as they exist? So if you wouldn't mind, play this clip, and then, because I didn't make this stuff up.
Right. Now, I just need to double check. Do I have the right clip here? Because the one I have is the flummoxed vet.
Oh, that's a different one. Okay. Well, this one is the Iraqis are not asking for a timetable. And it's a quote, and he actually says this. He says, this is what he says. McCain, actually, the Iraqis are not. The Iraqis were rightly reported as these are his words. I'm going to read them slow.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, the Iraqis are not. The Iraqis were widely reported as a short time ago, as a couple of weeks ago, that there would be no status of forces agreement, and Maliki would say that, and it got headlines, and of course it turned out not to be true. Whatever that means, it's more, it's fuzzying up the fact that Maliki, and it's not that Maliki wants it, the Iraqi parliament wants it, and they're not going to sign on for anything that does not include, as far as the status of forces agreement, or a long-term bilateral security agreement, they're not going to sign up for anything that doesn't have a timetable for American troop withdrawal. Period. They've already said it. And guys like Mukhtar al-Sadr, he has a lot of power in parliament. And Maliki knows that.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's not playing to his base. He's actually doing what his parliament is telling him to do. How unusual.
Well, I located that clip, and I'll load it up during the break here, and we'll hear it in John McCain's own voice as we continue. Scott Dick is my guest this entire hour. Your calls and comments are welcome about military and veterans issues. For vets, well, we have another threat of a White House veto on a bill that would help homeless veterans. We'll talk about that before the hour's up. 888-573-8372 or 888-5-PETER-B. Those reach the same number right here at the Peter B. Collins Show.
Been mattress shopping lately? Then you know the stores around here are pretty much the same, with the same confusing mix of brands and models. But there's a new store in town, one that's very different. The name is SC41 Furniture. The mattress systems at SC41 are totally unique. We start with durable birchwood slats that can be adjusted to match your body contour and ease pressure. Inside the mattress are hand-assembled honeycomb steel springs. They give wall-to-wall support and move independently to reduce motion. Then a layer of high-quality natural latex cushioning holds its shape while providing extra support and comfort. All with a stretch cotton cover that adapts to your body contour, resists moisture, and is 100% natural. So if you've been to the other mattress stores and you're not impressed, come to the new store that offers a better kind of mattress. SC41 Furniture on 41st Avenue, across from the Home Depot in Santa Cruz. On the web at sc41.com.
Hi, this is Cynthia.
And this is Paul at the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore.
Have you heard about the events at Pilgrim's Way in the Secret Garden? Maybe too late? Our events include workshops, lectures, and book signings by recognizable and well-known authors locally, nationally, and internationally on a wide range of topics.
Don't miss another chance. You can receive Pilgrim's Way event announcements personally by going to pilgrimsway.com and click on Events to subscribe to the private email service listed. An event calendar is also posted on the Pilgrim's Way community bulletin board inside the bookstore for your convenience. Support independence. Come in and pick up a free KRXA bumper sticker. We're on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in downtown Carmel.
Or give us a call at 624-4955.
Slow down, you move too fast. You got to make the morning last.
Hello, I'm Barbara Mossberg. You know you move too fast. And I'm inviting you to join me Sundays to slow down for our poetry hour. Here's the lowdown on our poetry hoedown. Meet me at high noon, and we'll make the morning last right here on KRXA 540.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale with 2 hours of talk radio all about our daily challenges, our fears, changes, crisis, addictions. Over 1,700 of them, can you believe it? Using the 12 steps, the law of attraction, whatever it takes. Join me Saturday afternoons 3 to 5 with my guests and we'll find solutions together. The Sheila Show, Saturday 3 to 5 on KRXA, brought to you by Benji's Princess Monterey Whale Watching Trips. Open daily on Old Fisherman's Wharf, Monterey.
Good afternoon. Checking traffic on KRXA. Starting things off in the Santa Cruz Mountains, southbound 17 before Redwood Estates Road. A tree down. That's across both of the lanes. Expect delays approaching the scene. In Aptos, southbound 1 before Soquel Drive. Crash. Two cars. Center divide. You have CHP on the way to take a report. And in Rio Del Mar, southbound 1 at Rio Del Mar Boulevard. A large amount of twine or possibly string in the left-hand lane. Motorists concerned that someone may get caught up and that CHP is on the way. And Big Sur still have the big fire burning down there. Highway 1 closed from Palo Colorado to Lucia. It is open to residents and service workers who have an ID. This is brought to you by Carfax. Do you know a new study from Carfax shows that the number of salvaged cars for sale in the United States has more than doubled? Ask your used car dealer for a free Carfax vehicle history report or go to Carfax.com. If you spot a problem, give us a call. 415-901-7990. I'm Nate Nix with traffic on KRXA.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, rolling down the highway at just $4.50 a gallon. I'd like to see American forces rolling down that highway south to Basra and on into Kuwait and back home. We continue with Scott Dick, our contributor on military veterans issues. Lines open if you want to comment. 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And, Scott, from YouTube, we have a clip here. It's got some a little bit of kind of digital echo to it, but I encourage people to turn up your radio, and you'll be able to hear John McCain answering a question from a reporter. The reporter's voice is off mic. He says, Senator, with Iraqi leaders now calling for a timetable for U.S. troop withdrawals, and then McCain interrupts him and says, well, actually, the Iraqis are not, and you'll be able to hear McCain a little better than the reporter.
Not calling for a timetable for U.S. troop withdrawals. Actually, the Iraqis are not. The Iraqis were widely reported as short a time ago, a couple of weeks ago, that there would be no status of forces agreement, and now if you say that, that got headlines, and of course it turned out not to be true.
Now, let me just pause there, Senator, because Scott Dick, it's still true that we don't have a status of forces agreement, and the Iraqis are bargaining pretty hard with the United States on that.
Well, and, you know, as of July 8th, now I know that's ancient history, Peter, July 8th, but Iraq's national security advisor said in the, you know, that liberal rag, the Wall Street Journal, that they would not sign an agreement governing the future role of U.S. troops in Iraq unless it includes a timetable for their withdrawal,
mm-hmm.
period, including the national security advisor. Now, here's the most important thing that this so-called foreign expert, national security expert, how many ever of those words he wants to put together, should be aware of, that this national policy security guy from Iraq came out of a meeting with al-Sistani. So they're taking their direction. They're taking political, how he doesn't order them, he gives suggestions.
Right, and Sistani is the leading cleric in Iraq who has eschewed any role in the active political process, and that is in contrast to Muqtada al-Sadr, who is not as widely revered as a religious leader, but is seen as both a military or a militia and a political leader. Let's listen to the rest of McCain's comment here.
I met recently with the vice, the foreign minister and the president. Both of them share my views completely.
Oh, the 100
Americans
years?
Will withdraw. It'll be dictated by events on the ground, by the success that we've made, and that success has been significant, but it's still fragile. Al-Qaeda and other Shiite militias, other former Baathists, those elements have been knocked back on their heels.
Yeah. Scott, did you hear the factual error there?
Yeah.
He referred to al-Qaeda and other Shiite militias.
I don't know if he was just missing a comma or he really doesn't know what he's talking about. The media loves his ability to tell a joke, but can they not pay 1 minute attention to this guy when he starts talking about Iraq? It really burns me. These are the kinds of factual errors, Peter, that experts who pay attention don't make because they've been paying attention, and they know that's critical for credibility to be able to say, hey, look, the foreign policy guy that reports to Maliki spent some time with Sistani. Sistani is really keeping a lid on the violence, but he could take the lid off anytime he wants. And I just want to make it clear, Sistani, if he had a pyramid of power in Iraq, the guy that sits at the very top of that is al-Sistani.
Right.
Muqtada al-Sadr is pretty far down the list, so was the prime minister. And
mm-hmm.
I don't know which president he was talking about. I didn't realize that there was a president of Iraq.
Yeah, there is. Talabani.
So he's important because we hear about him all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so if John McCain understood the Middle East, and when he said, right, men, we're not going to have a timetable, we're just going to do it all by conditions on the ground, and they nod their head yes, does he really think that they're agreeing with him, or does he not know that they are just being polite? Arabs are, if nothing else, polite.
Yeah.
And so this is ridiculous that because he met with these two guys some time ago, he's so far behind the power curve on this. It's dangerous, Peter.
Well, and we have more on John McCain's shooting from the hip and the lip. He had remarkable comments about the Iranian missile test. We'll get to those in the next segment. And also, he had an interesting exchange with a Vietnam vet, and we have that clip for you coming up here shortly, too. Scott Dick is with us for this entire hour, and if you would like to join us, lines are open right now. It's toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. I'd like to let you know that you can share a podcast of any portion of the Peter B. Collins Show with somebody else. Just log on to my website. The link is on the homepage at peterbcollins.com. And if you want to hear portions of our program over your advanced cellular phone, you know, BlackBerry or an iPhone, go to phoneshow.com. It's spelled F-O-N-E, phoneshow.com. Look for radio programs and then find Peter B. Collins. And if you subscribe, every time we post a new clip, you'll get an email alerting you to its arrival. We're so high-tech and on multi-platforms and rich content, digital media. What else could you want? We'll return in a moment for more of the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Why would he say what he said? This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. Jesse Jackson has apologized for making a whispered comment about Barack Obama during a break in a taping for Fox and Friends. He was referring to Obama's Father's Day speech at a black church when he whispered,
Barack was talking down to black people.
Barack was talking down to black people. But of course he didn't just whisper Barack was talking down to black people. He also whispered this. I want to cut his beeps out, which taken literally would be about the worst thing that could happen to a man. Reverend Jackson regrets his indiscreet whisper.
Any further harm caused his campaign, I apologize because I have such high regard for him. And this historic redemptive moment, I'm a part of it.
And yet, at the moment he said it, that's clearly how he felt. And why would he feel that way? Because even though Reverend Jackson would like to be a part of the Obama candidacy, he isn't. Jackson wants to remind his audience about black oppression. But for Barack Obama, who has two young daughters who'll one day bring home boyfriends, even a history of black oppression is no excuse for irresponsible male conduct.
There's a reason why our families are in disrepair, and some of it has to do with a tragic history. But we can't keep on using that as an excuse.
Plus, in 2001, Jesse Jackson, a married man, admitted to fathering a child out of wedlock with a co-worker at a civil rights organization.
What makes you a man is not the ability to have a child. Any fool can have a child.
I'm not surprised Jesse Jackson would be thinking about castration. I'm guessing that deep down, he feels Obama's done the same thing to him. Now this.
Computer security threats such as spam, spyware, viruses, and hackers invade your business every day through email, instant messaging, web browsing, and your company's website. With no software to install and no per-user license fees, Barracuda Network firewalls are easy to set up and affordable. Do what 50,000 other companies have done. Reclaim your network with a Barracuda Network firewall. For a free evaluation unit, call Barracuda Networks, 888-ANTI-SPAM, 888-ANTI-SPAM, or go online to barracuda.com.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Yeah.
Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join Thinker Toys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why Thinker Toys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. Thinker Toys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
Every Sunday morning at 10, check out Rock Roller Real Estate, America's favorite real estate show. Learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are. Rock Roller Real Estate, every Sunday morning at 10. To be a guest, call 408-892-3376. That's 408-892-3376. For more information, stop by our website at rockrollerrealestate.com. Rock Roller Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540.
Fritti di Mar Grill in Marina is a delicious haven for lovers of Italian seafood pasta and salads at neighborly prices. Owners Tito and Sonia Perez invite you to their new restaurant, Fritti di Mar Grill, for lunch or dinner weekdays and on Saturdays from 4 p.m. Every tasty meal comes with generous portions of Salvadoran warmth. Fritti di Mar Grill is at 3056 Del Monte Boulevard in Friendly Marina. Browse to FrittiDiMarGrill.com or call 384-8525.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
We continue with veteran Scott Dick here talking military and vets issues. You can join us toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B. Take it no more. Well, I happen to think impeachment is a good remedy. And about an hour from now, Dennis Kucinich, the courageous Democratic congressman from Cleveland, will join us. He'll describe the latest article of impeachment introduced in the House today. And Nancy Pelosi hasn't said that impeachment is back on the table, but she's kind of cracked the door there at the Judiciary Committee. We'll talk with the congressman about that. It's coming up about an hour from now here on the PBC show. More now with Scott Dick, our contributor on military and veterans matters. Lines are open if you have a comment at 888-5-PETER-B. And, Scott, I've got this this clip up now. This is John McCain, and he's in one of his famous town hall meetings, the kind of thing he's dared Barack Obama to join him in. And, well, let's just listen as he takes a question. He chooses a veteran to go to first.
Well, Peter, hang on a second.
Yeah, go ahead.
Because I last night on my show, I called John McCain a liar. And I said, don't listen to me. This isn't the Fox network. I'm going to put the evidence out there for you first, and then I'm going to play the clip.
All right.
So I went over to Disabled American Veterans Organization. This is no liberal organization. I mean, they're just not. Disabled American veterans. I want to remind you that John McCain is 100% disabled, and that's his rating, and that's what he gets his pension check, one of his pension checks based on, the fact that he's 100%. So the disabled American veterans and John McCain have something in common, so they would not be trashing John McCain just to be trashing John McCain.
Okay.
So they have a scorecard for five very important veterans funding issues. And I'll make this short. They're put out by a couple of Senators Thune, Akaka, Stabenow, Burns, and another one by Akaka. One of them was for $20 million for medical facilities for Department of Veterans Affairs. Another one's for $430 million for the Department of Veterans Affairs for medical services for outpatient care. One was to take care, increase funding for veterans health programs. One was to increase veterans funding by $1.5 billion and to be paid for by closing corporate tax loopholes. So there's five of these. And then they rated the Senate on how they voted. And I have to say, it's right here in black and white or yellow and gray on the web. He topped out at a 20% rating. He, in fact, has the worst rating of any other senator in the U.S. Senate for this Congress. And he did it by, this is the 109th Congress. He's voted over these amendments. He voted no on all except for one of them. The next worst is 40%. So granted, he gets a 20% scorecard by the DAV. And he also went against the VFW and the American Legion and some other veterans organizations when he went against the Webb GI Bill. So the idea, what he said, that is what makes what he says next so egregious and an out-and-out lie. Either that or he's forgotten, which is almost as bad.
All right. You ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
Here we go.
Sir, thank you. Here, bring him the camera.
Senator, veterans and all Americans admire your service in Vietnam. We admire the fact that you're the Straight Talk Express, but we know that you voted against, or, well, actually you didn't vote on the new GI Bill and you spoke out against it. We understand you had a difference on that, but we haven't heard an explanation of why you voted against your colleagues' proposals to increase health care funding in 2004, 5, 6, and 7, when we had troops coming back from two wars.
Well, let me say, first of all, sir, on the issue of the GI Bill, I have great respect for Senator Webb, and I appreciate his efforts and his service to our country. The issue was we need to increase our educational benefits for our veterans, and we were dedicated to that proposition. Huh. The problem that some of us had who were career military people was that there were studies that showed that we didn't have incentives for people to become career military people.
Peter, can you pause it for a second?
Go right ahead.
That is such a crock. What are those $40,000 bonuses they're given to first-termers to re-enlist and second-termers and young lieutenants and young captains who are not careerists? They don't get career status until, you know, after their eighth year or in the regular Army, which is kind of a, you know, it's a bureaucratic deal. But this is what he said is complete nonsense. They're getting $35,000, $45,000, in some cases $65,000 bonuses when they re-enlist. So when he says there's no incentives for making it a career, what the hell is he talking about?
Very good point. We'll continue. Interrupt when you want.
Those who have served understand the importance of the non-commissioned officer and incentives for people to stay in. So we argued for an ability of veterans of active duty service personnel, after they'd been in for a period of time, they could transfer those educational benefits
Peter,
to
right
their...
There.
Go ahead.
So this is called portability. So I made the point that when I got out of the Army, I was perfectly capable and ready to go to work for any civilian corporation that employed tanks on Highway 101 or Highway 5. Or maybe some light artillery back and maybe some small arms machine gun. Maybe I could go to work in an armory at the Los Angeles SWAT team.
Uh-huh.
So I needed some training. I needed to do some work. This portability is important for soldiers, whether they're male or female, in case they're killed. The GI Bill just doesn't go to waste. It actually can be transferred to the spouse or the children.
Mm-hmm.
But what middle-aged guy or gal who just left the military, either through retirement or through getting out, is going to throw away their chance to go to college by giving it to their kids or their spouse? They need that training. So this is a total red herring. It's complete nonsense. If a soldier's killed, sure, it should be portable to his family. I agree with that. But this whole portability nonsense was nothing but a red herring to distract away from the fact they didn't want to pay for this. They don't like veterans.
The other thing he said in there was that we argued for certain things. And, in fact, McCain was missing in action. Jim Webb's staff repeatedly tried to meet with him or his staff to work on details. And McCain just, stiff-armed him. And Webb even went public, challenging Senator McCain to respond to him because the bill was picking up steam. And he wanted McCain on board. And McCain refused.
McCain, it seems to me, this sounds like somebody who has a giant ego, and he's not going to be brought in by the likes of a junior senator like James Webb. And that's what this sounds to me, because he didn't have his story straight on the new GI Bill, what they were proposing, this portability nonsense, the fact that it would affect retention. But, you know, they never quoted the CBO memorandum correctly when they said, oh, yeah, but it's going to bring in 16% more high-quality recruits. So this is I don't want to get too far off.
Spouses and or family members. We felt that was, one, appropriate so that a career military person doesn't have to worry about providing educational benefits in that way, and also an incentive to stay in. Well, we reached an agreement. In case you missed it, we reached an agreement, and we passed the legislation, and we will now not only have the increased educational benefits, but we will also have incentives for people to become career military people and be able to transfer those benefits. Now, I'm disappointed that it only went back to 2001. I was disappointed that Senator Webb didn't support making it permanent. And Senator Graham and I and other veterans will be looking to try to extend that to all veterans, not just 2001.
What a crock.
Senator Webb,
Peter.
And others.
That is a crock.
It's a total crock. And this whole thing about portability, what incentives? There are no new incentives in there for retention. The reenlistment bonuses, the opportunities for captains now to get their master's degree paid for, there's multiple opportunities trying to keep these guys on active duty across the board. This is so much crap. This is the kind of thing, and this is the Straight Talk Express.
Well, kind of.
He's not done yet, so go ahead.
To agree with that. My friend, I all I can say is I don't know what you're pointing to, but I've received every award from every major veterans organization in America. I've received every organization in America their awards.
Go ahead. That's a lie?
That's a lie.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at the chart right now from the DAV. It's right there. He gets a 20% scorecard. So maybe he meant 10 years ago or 20 years ago or 15 years ago or 5 years ago, but he has not supported veterans. He has not supported the active duty. He's voted against when he's in the Senate. And he's been in the Senate, Peter, probably to vote this year on your hands and finger, your hands and toes is what you could count.
Right. He couldn't make it in for the FISA vote this week.
He couldn't make it in for many, many votes. And the last time he voted was April 8th. But if you go back to before that, there were also days, tens of days, that he didn't show up to bother to vote.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's not like he's campaigning 7 days a week. He takes Saturday and Sunday off.
Well, and to claim that he's won an award from every group, that may be true. And as you point out, many of those may have been given to him in the 1980s when he was still a relatively fresh Vietnam and Hanoi veteran. But, you know, awards are far different from the scorecards that they keep on how senators and congresspeople vote.
Exactly. And he's got the lowest one on these five big ticket items that are important to all veterans, and he has the lowest in the Senate. For him to say that is complete crap. It's a lie. It's a blatant,
I don't know what you're referring to, nor do... I'm responding to your question, and then I will let you speak again if you'd like, but you want to... The way we try to conduct these is let people finish, and then I will go back to you. I'll go right back. So I don't know what bill you're referring to, and I don't know what you're referring to, and I'll be glad to have you refer to it. But the reason why I have a perfect voting record from organizations like the Veterans of Foreign Wars, the American Legion, and all the other veteran service organizations is because of my support of them.
Correction?
Perfect voting award. And then this veteran, he comes back and he says he's not going to be put off. You do not have a perfect voting record by the DAV.
All right, let's listen to
it. But you can go ahead and respond if you want to. Go ahead. Give him the microphone back.
I'll respond by saying this, that you do not have a perfect voting record by the DAV and the VFW. That's where these votes are recorded. And the votes were proposals by your colleagues in the Senate to increase health care funding of the VA in 2003, 4, 5, and 6 for troops returning from Iraq and Afghanistan, and you voted against those proposals. I can give the specific Senate votes, the numbers of those Senate votes, right now.
This soldier is well prepared.
Thank you, and I'll be glad to examine what your version of my record is. But, again, I've been endorsed in every election by all of the veterans organizations that do that. I've been supported
How he modifies going from winning awards to having a perfect voting record to being endorsed by veterans organizations. He's all over the map here.
I'm looking at the Vietnam Veterans of America website now and his voting record, and he not only has tens of, I don't want to exaggerate, that's eight or six very important veterans bills not voted, a whole series of no's. This is the one for $430 million, another one for $20 million, to provide an assured stream of funding for veterans' health care. He voted no against. That was in 2006, in the middle of the war. He voted yes on one. He voted against enrollment fees. That's why he got a 20% from the DAV. He voted on the military construction and veteran affairs fiscal year 2006, but he's far from the red X's where he voted no, far, by far, outnumber the places, the green check marks. It is very amazing, not amazing, it's typical of a career politician who is a conservative Republican, who talks out of one side of his mouth and actually votes in a completely opposite way.
And Scott Dick, the veteran who confronted McCain in Denver about this and had solid information to back up his argument with the senator, he sets an example for the lapdog media in this country. That's the way they should be approaching candidate John McCain. And instead, they're just smiling and taking his comments down and reporting them uncritically. We're going to take a break and return. Scott Dick with us here. And we've got an update on a number of stories that have developed in the past week. We'll share that with you coming up next here on the Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Checking traffic on KRXA. We'll start you off in Monterey County, Highway 68 at Corral de Tierra Road. An injury crash, vehicle and a bicyclist involved. You have emergency crews on the scene. Earlier problem southbound 17 just before the Redwood Estates. We had a tree down across the roadway. That's been cleared out of the way. But look for heavy traffic approaching the scene. The rest of Highway 17, no stalls, no accidents, just some heavy traffic once you get to the Fish Hook in Santa Cruz. Down to Big Sur, we still have advisory for evacuations in the area because of the Basin Complex fire. Highway 1 shut down from Palo Colorado Road down to Lucie. It is open to residents and service workers that have valid ID there. This is brought to you by Carfax. Do you know what happens to flood-damaged cars when they're pulled from the water? Many are dried out, cleaned up, and resold. Ask your dealer for a free Carfax vehicle history report or go to Carfax.com. If you spot a traffic problem, give us a call, 415-901-7990. I'm Nate Nix, and that's traffic on KRXA.
KRXA invites you to hear Richard Hayes Phillips, election theft investigator and author of Witness to a Crime, A Citizen's Audit of an American Election. Learn how the 2004 presidential election in Ohio was rigged and how you can take action to avoid a repeat. Friday, July 18th at 7:30 p.m. at the Santa Cruz Vets Hall, 846 Front Street. Go to witnesstoacrime.com or call 831-429-8946. That's 429-8946.
Ever thought about shipping your child to a remote island? Want to send them to their room for the rest of their life? I can help. I'm Mark LaCluse, an intern psychotherapist practicing in SoCal under the supervision of Dr. Chaim Barton. For the past 10 years, I've been helping parents, teens, and kids overcome challenges in their lives, and I'd like to help you too. I can work with your family to resolve conflicts, improve communications, and solve problems. Together, we can turn struggles and challenges into opportunities for growth and connection. I offer an affordable sliding scale and am currently accepting new clients. Please call for an appointment. 831-818-4033. Parenting doesn't have to be so hard. I'm Mark LaCluse. Give me a call. 818-4033. That's 818-4033.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffeehouse in SoCal Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose-leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Rare frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive and Porter Street in SoCal.
Time for more on the Peter B. Collins Show. We continue our weekly hour with Scott Dick, contributing on military and veterans issues here on the PBC show. And if you want to join us, 888-5, Peter B. is our toll-free number. You can always email me, peter at peterbcollins.com. And, Scott, here's another one of those bills that the White House is threatening to veto. And it is a bill that would help homeless veterans. It's called the Homes for Heroes Act. It was introduced by Al Green, a Democrat from Texas, and the Senate bill is being carried by Barack Obama. It passed the House by an entirely veto-proof margin, 412-9. But the White House is still threatening a veto. Now, is this fiscal responsibility? Is this the GI Bill was too rich and that's all you get this year?
No, what this is Bush and his advisors are looking at really measuring the needs of corporate America over our veterans. This is nothing new. We see it every day in Iraq. We see it in Afghanistan. And the reason that he's threatened to veto it is because there's a minimum wage clause in it for people who actually build construction. They have to pay him the minimum prevailing wage.
Oh, we can't have that.
No, of course not. We can't have fairness. We got corporations making billions in profits, but to pay the fair minimum wage to the people building actually doing the work, well, now we'll have none of that. And you know what? If you screw 154,000 homeless veterans, 57% who are African American or Latino, then so what? You got to break a couple eggs to make an omelet.
Yeah.
This is disgusting, Peter. This is typical for the administration, and I can't believe I'm so frustrated with the Democrats because they haven't brought this kind of thing to the media where they can really say John McCain, well, George Bush, Dick Cheney, they support the troops. Are you effing kidding me, to use the words of Obama?
And it's a great hammer to use on them. And you're right. I don't understand why the Democrats don't capitalize on it. All right, here's another item breaking today on Thursday. The Washington Post reporting that the public affairs director at Arlington National Cemetery appears to have been fired for her efforts to restore media access to military burials. In April, a woman named Gina Gray was named as the director, public affairs director there at Arlington. And apparently she is now gone because she granted permission for reporters to view the burial of Lieutenant Colonel Billy Hall, who was killed while serving in Iraq. And this has turned into quite a controversy. And it's just another example of the way the Bush administration is so intent on keeping the uncomfortable images of the true cost of this war and occupation from the American people.
True. But, Peter, the story is worse than that. The story is a little more nuanced. The assistant director of the facility was calling families to discourage them from having the press cover their loved one's funerals. Now, why he would do that, it's obvious, of course. He's from the cloned right-wing nuts that believe the media lost the war in Vietnam. These are holdovers from that complete load of crap that's been sold to the American people. The media lost the war, so we'll have none of this media openness in this century. And so she went to the regulations. This is her crime. She went to the regulations and saw that there was no regulation prohibiting that, and he really shouldn't have been making those calls. And, of course, she called him on it as a director of public affairs, and so they demoted her, and then they fired her. This is an outrage, and she was doing her job. There's no regulation against it, and it's typical for the way the Bush administration continues to try to spin the victory in Iraq and the victory in Afghanistan.
And speaking of Iraq, in Washington this week, Lieutenant General James Dubik from the U.S. Army, who oversees the training of Iraqi soldiers and police, said the good news is that security forces have grown from 444,000 to about 566,000. They are better able to execute operations on their own. But he added that the fast-growing force still lacks experienced leaders and the ability to train all its recruits. And there was that problem in Basra where 1,500 guys just said, oh, I'm not going to fight these people. They're just like me.
Well, yeah. I mean, think about if you want to just lie awake at night, Peter, and just clench your jaw until you get a headache, think about where we'd be right now if Bremer hadn't disbanded the Iraqi military.
Yeah.
And we've gone through the same kind of purge, I guess is the right word, that they used in the DDR. It was bloodless. They pensioned off the worst ones, ran away and joined the French Foreign Legion and, you know, went to Liberia and that kind of thing. The other ones that were so-so, they pensioned them off, gave them no reason to fight the government because they had their pension. And then they slowly but surely moved in. They kept the units intact with their small unit leaders. They slowly moved in people they could trust. They took it over. They changed. One day they wore the uniform of the old DDR army. The next day they put on the Bundeswehr army, and then they sold all that stuff on the internet. And they could have done that in Iraq. And that should keep people awake at night.
DDR was the East German military.
Yeah, the Deutsche Demokratische Republik.
Dave and Eureka, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Well, gentlemen, I think we have to deal with the reality that there is nothing, nothing at all, that is real about John McCain. For one thing, he does accept and has for years 100% disability from the federal government, meaning, in his opinion, in the government's opinion, he's not qualified to sweep floors at Jack in the Box, but he thinks he's qualified to be president of the United States. He is a neocon. He is owned by big special interests. He is there to give shift money to the very rich and to hell with the normal working person. He is bad news in every way that I can see.
So, Dave, I take it you won't be there in St. Paul nominating him for the Republican.
I'm going to make sure I stop just short of that.
Dave, thank you very much. Always nice to hear from you. And, Scott, also there was a dust-up in Washington this week as, let me find my notes here. This relates to, here it is, KBR was accused, that's Kellogg Brown Root, the Halliburton division that's got all the sweetheart deals in Iraq.
Right.
Byron Dorgan accused Major General Jerome Johnson of lying to him in relation to issues about KBR and the, I guess it was the high price of bottled water that was one of the issues. And Dorgan says, I believe General Johnson presented evidence that deceived Congress.
That's a serious charge because, you know, the way the Congress deals with the military, this is a very effective tool. If they want something from the military and they've been slow to get, you know what they do? They just stop the approval process. The mm-hmm. Senate approves all promotions,
right.
For example,
mm-hmm.
and nominations. And so they'll sit on them. On occasion, the Senate does that to get the DOD's attention. And so this is not good. This is why the military generally don't lie to Congress, because there can be real severe ramifications for that.
Scott Dick, thanks for joining us today on the Peter B. Collins Show.
You're welcome, Peter.
We're talking with Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. Veronique, you started the company more than 30 years ago, and was it partly because you were getting headaches from wine?
Absolutely. I'm an extremely chemically sensitive person. There were no wines, no conventionally grown wines that I could really drink and enjoy until I accidentally tasted my grandfather's wine and discovered to my extreme surprise that I could drink those wines without getting headaches. More and more people suffer the results of the accumulation of toxic substances in our environment, and our tolerance is getting really strained, and therefore it takes a very little amount of a toxic substance for them to start have an unpleasant experience.
Learn more about the Organic Wine Company on the web at ecowine.com. That's ecowine.com. To place an order or ask a question, call 888-ECO-WINE. Toll free, that's 1-888-ECO-WINE. Tell them Peter B. sent you.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. They said it was too good to be true, and they were right. After sharp declines earlier this week, the price of oil rebounded today, closing more than $5 higher at $141.34 a barrel. Analyst Peter Butel says several factors came into play.
There were rumors of a third Iranian missile test. We also had the International Energy Agency revising demand figures higher.
With gasoline above $4 a gallon, American drivers are demanding fuel-efficient vehicles like never before. Today, Toyota announced plans to build its Prius hybrid in the United States at a plant in the South.
We know customers who have been clamoring for it. It's just going to take us a couple of years to get started on it in Mississippi, but it's an exciting day for us for sure.
Company spokesman Mike Goss says production of the Tundra pickup and Sequoia SUV will be suspended for 3 months due to slow sales. Chrysler is trying to move Dodge Ram pickups with a variety of incentives that include 0% financing for 6 years. In Phoenix today, the city's first light rail train pulled into a brand new station downtown, giving commuters an alternative to their cars. The FDA has been under a lot of fire lately, but CBS News correspondent Nancy Cordes reports many top executives got generous bonuses in 2007.
The Food and Drug Administration is the federal agency most frequently referred to as broken, but you wouldn't know it by taking a look at their bonuses from last year. A combined $1 million to 28 senior FDA executives, pushing their pay above members of Congress, federal judges, even some cabinet secretaries.
The agency says the bonuses are a tool to retain people with special skills. Right now, the FDA is struggling to trace the source of the salmonella that sickened more than 1,000 Americans. Jalapeno peppers and cilantro have been added to tomatoes as possible sources. which, as CBS News correspondent Kelly Cobier reports, is a real headache for restaurants.
In restaurant kitchens around the country, serving up the ingredients linked to the salmonella outbreak feels a lot like a game of Russian roulette.
And an illness traced back to your restaurant could really hurt.
It could destroy a restaurant. It could destroy everything that we worked for.
Restaurant owners like David Bass aren't sure which of their ingredients could be carrying Salmonella St. Paul. And customers are even more confused.
In fact, I thought the scare was over.
The illness was reported in yet another state today, Mississippi. But the bulk of the outbreak is still centered in the Southwest. More than 400 cases in Texas alone.
Just a day after it passed the Senate, President Bush signed the terrorist surveillance bill today.
Today I'm pleased to sign landmark legislation that is vital to the security of our people.
But the new law is already being challenged in court by civil libertarians who say it gives the government too much leeway. The Dow had an 81-point gain, closing at 11,229. This is CBS News.
What do you do for a headache?
I recommend the July 13th Sunday paper, where you can find coupons for Advil and save up to $4.
What if my back hurts?
No matter what hurts, nothing's proven to work better than Advil.
What if aches and pains keep me up at night?
You're in luck, because you can save on Advil PM, too.
What about pains I haven't had yet?
Now I have a headache.
Oh, well, did you hear you can save up to $4 on Advil and Advil PM with coupons in the Sunday paper on July 13th?
You don't say.
Among OTC pain relievers, use as directed. A message from the Orbitz Traveler Wellness Center.
Hi, this is Dr. Martin Pakulski-Blatz. Am I here to tell you that there's no reason to worry about the price of your flight dropping after you book? Yes. With Orbitz Price Assurance, if another customer books the same flight for less, will Orbitz automatically send you the difference in cash? Also, yes. Is this the best news you've ever heard? I don't even know you, but yes.
Visit Orbitz.com today. Same flight means same dates, times, airlines, restrictions, $250 maximum refund.
Bullies are not confined to the schoolyard. Sometimes they can be found in the operating room. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato reports.
Hospitals are being warned they could lose their accreditation if they don't crack down on bullying by doctors and other healthcare professionals. Dr. Peter Angood is with the Joint Commission, an independent group that certifies more than 15,000 hospitals. He says intimidating tactics compromise healthcare and drive up costs.
It's been present for quite some time now, and it's going to take a lot of work to drive this intimidating and disruptive behavior problem out of healthcare.
Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
A woman in Munster, Indiana, knows she has a friend at her bank. After she deposited $2,000 bills yesterday, the bank called and told her to take them back. The rare 1934 notes with a picture of President Grover Cleveland are worth several times their face value. The woman says she got the bills from a relative a long time ago, and she finally decided to deposit them. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
All right, so you want to install carpet in how many rooms?
All of them.
Ouch, that hurts.
No, see, it's only $199. Feeling better?
Yeah.
It's time to save big on carpet installation. Right now at the Home Depot, basic installation is just $199. That's any carpet style, all at our everyday low prices, and any number of rooms. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. U.S. only. See store for details, exclusions, and license numbers.
A message from the Orbitz Traveler Wellness Center.
Hello, Dr. Martin Pakulski-Blatz here. I just want to tell you about the Orbitz Great American Sale, where you can save 30% on hotels in great American cities. So get going, because really, is there anything more American than America? No, there isn't. So head over to Orbitz.com today and save.
Valid for travel 7708 through 11-24-08, book by 831-08, see site for details.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B. And be part of Peter B.'s America.
Put down that weapon, or we'll all be gone.
That's a
song about nukes from Midnight Oil. It's called Put Down That Weapon. Welcome to this hour of the Peter B. Collins Show. We're going to start off talking about Iran, and then on the half hour, Dennis Kucinich, the Democratic congressman from Ohio, will be with us. He's going to describe the article of impeachment that he introduced as a privilege resolution in the House today. And there is an interesting development. Nancy Pelosi seems to have taken her velvet hammer off of the impeachment issue a little bit. I can't say that it's back on the table, but it might be in a drawer just under the tabletop. And we'll discuss that with the congressman coming up in just half an hour or less. Joining me now is William O. Beeman, professor and chair of the anthropology department at the University of Minnesota. Formerly, he was at Brown University. William Beeman, nice to talk with you again.
Hi, nice to talk to you too, Peter.
Well, professor, I'm glad you could join us today. And I wanted to talk to you about the developments related to Iran. And it gets a little complicated, but I'm going to try to put it into a couple of bullet points here and then ask you to describe what you're seeing. Just in the last couple of days, Iran has launched some missile tests, not for the first time, and there is some question about as to whether the videos may have been doctored, but they kind of demonstrated that they can hit targets up to 1,250 miles away, which puts them within range of many targets inside Israel. And this has caused a reaction from the saber-rattlers in the Bush administration and John McCain, and they kind of blow past the fact that we just finished some naval maneuvers in the Persian Gulf, and that recently Israel did some war games where they showed that they could fly planes and refuel them far enough to launch an assault on Tehran. And so the brinksmanship is building, but at the very same time, the one of the deputy secretaries of state this week, Burns, said that, you know, we are committed fully to using all diplomatic tools. We view force as an option, but a last resort. And so I'm getting a little whiplash here from the clear mixed messages from the Republicans.
Yeah, Nicholas Burns is out, is going to be out of office very, very shortly. And he has been the chief detractor of Iran. His job for his entire time at the State Department has been to denigrate Iran 24/7. That's all he does. And so I'm not surprised that we get this reaction from him. I say fortunately he's going to be out of office very, very shortly.
Mm-hmm.
He's not a person that Condoleezza Rice agrees with. The State Department is pursuing a diplomatic option. But I think it's really important for everybody to now understand what the pattern is. The United States or the European powers will make some headway in trying to develop better relations with Iran, some kind of diplomatic breakthrough. In an earlier period of time, Iran has lent help to the United States, for instance, in Afghanistan. Every single time that happens, there are countervailing forces in the Bush administration and also, quite frankly, in the pro-Israeli lobby that try to sabotage that development.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've had a very important breakthrough in terms of diplomatic talks between Iran and the European powers last week, and then all of a sudden we get this kind of saber rattling on the part of the administration. Not only that, but we have a very pernicious resolution going through Congress. House concurrent resolution 362,
right,
and Senate resolution 580. These resolutions were actually authored by the American Israel Public Affairs Committee.
AIPAC, yes.
They were authored by AIPAC. They were fed to Congressman Zuckerman and Place, and they've garnered some 200 sponsors thus far. Barney Frank has withdrawn his name from that resolution and said, frankly, that he didn't read it.
Mm-hmm.
He apologizes for not having read it because it calls for a blockade of the Gulf of Hormuz. It calls for blockading Iranian fuel sources. Iran imports most of its gasoline because they don't have enough refining capacity.
Mm-hmm.
And then last night, Tom DeLay appears on Chris Matthews' show and says, let's bomb them. Let's go bomb them. I've been telling them they should go in there and drop bombs right now. Well, Iran hears MSNBC just as well as anybody.
Mm-hmm.
They watch the Israeli air maneuvers. They see the U.S. the ship maneuvers in the Gulf. Also, Israel some months ago dropped had a military attack on a target in Syria that they claimed was a nuclear facility. I think
we're still awaiting proof, Professor.
We're still awaiting proof of that.
Yes, we are. But it's been converted to conventional wisdom now. I heard it uncritically reported on the PBS NewsHour flatly that it was a nuclear facility,
yeah,
and that has never been proven.
No, and most people think that it was a practice run for an attack on an Iranian nuclear facility. Anyway, so the Iranians shoot off a few conventional rockets, and all of a sudden it's front page news in the United States. The world starts screaming, "Iran is aggressive! Iran is attacking!" And they don't put it in the context of all of the other things that have been done to provoke this kind of action.
And let's add just a little more context. The latest dispatch from Seymour Hersh indicates that last fall, Democratic leaders were briefed and presumably agreed to divert $400 million into special ops and other programs related to Iran. And independently, Sam Gardner, a retired Air Force colonel who I talk with on a regular basis, using publicly available media sources, mostly in Iran, has identified a number of incidents as recently as this past Monday where it is blamed these incidents occur, and the Iranian media reports them as provocations by the United States. And some of these are through surrogates like the MEK and some other paramilitary organizations that we appear to have inserted into Iran. And it even seems possible that we have some special ops advanced teams inside the Iranian border.
Right, precisely. And this is not new. The United States has been flirting with these opposition groups for years now. Ever since the beginning of the Bush administration, we've entertained leaders of these opposition groups in Washington. The Department of Defense had Mohammad Ali Cherghani, an Azerbaijani dissident in Washington. They were talking with a friend of the American Enterprise Institute and the Shah of Iran, Rob Sobhani, who's an Iranian-American figure living in Maryland, who I think hopes to be prime minister under the Shah, under a restored Shah's government.
Yeah.
They've been arming and providing logistic supplies to the PJAK, which is a Kurdish group that that we support when they attack Iran, and that we try to curtail when they attack the Turks. Same group attacking Turks on one side and attacking Iran on the other side, but they're good. They're good oppositionists when they attack Iran. They're bad oppositionists when they attack Turkey. And then the Mujahideen Khalq, the MEK,
mm-hmm.
Which is an anti-Iran opposition group that was supported by Saddam Hussein. The United States has allowed them to keep all of their arms and is providing funds for them as well. And we have people like Sam Brownback in Kansas and Ileana Ross-Lehtinen in Florida who've been trying to get them taken off of the terrorist list in order to be able to provide direct government support to that group in hopes that they'll somehow overthrow the government of Iran. So, I mean, again, the Iranians are not unaware of all this. If I know it, believe me, they know it.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea that somehow Iran is singularly hostile and is the only Iran is providing danger for the United States. The United States is not attacking or trying to undermine Iran or supporting hostilities toward Iran is really quite ludicrous. It's just that the American public only hears one side of the story.
Well, and that's another critical issue here, Dr. Beeman, because the context that I provided at the beginning of this conversation is not referenced in most media coverage of the issues related to Iran. So it's just seen as Iran is bad. Ahmadinejad has made these anti-Israeli, anti-Semitic comments, many of which have been exaggerated in their translation. And so they're just really setting Iran up as the next demon, the next regime demon to be knocked over.
Well, and also, it's convenient. both the Democrats and Republicans attack Iran on a regular basis, and I am fond of saying that no American politician has ever lost a vote by attacking Iran.
Yeah.
So we get it from both sides. We get both the Obama and McCain, who are saying negative things about Iran. In fact, Hillary Clinton did as well, because they know it'll play well.
Yeah, Hillary Clinton's comments really, I thought, were reckless and dangerous.
Well, I did too. And the simple fact is that Iran is not, as a nation, has not attacked anybody in a first strike for 300 years. However, they will defend themselves. They will retaliate. And the idea that, you know, somehow the United States or Israel could attack Iran, and then if Iran retaliates, Iran is the aggressor. That would be a ridiculous kind of statement, but it's what we're being set up to believe.
We're going to take a break and return with Professor William O. Beeman. He is a chair of the Anthropology Department and specialist in Middle East Studies at the University of Minnesota. He blogs like a wild man. The website is wbeeman, it's wbeeman.blogspot.com. Check it out. We're going to take a break and return. You have a question or a comment, you should bring it on right now. Toll free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. We'll talk more about Iran. And then about 20 minutes from now, Dennis Kucinich talks about his latest impeachment article introduced in the House today. More ahead on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the new KRXA 540. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale here to tell you about Monta Vista Wine and Spirits on Soledad Drive in Monterey. It's family-owned for over 40 years. They have all the best wines. It's the real deal. With a high-end liquor selection, it's all there. And if you have a special request, they'll take care of it for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is open every day 9 to 9. Call ahead. Your order will be waiting for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, 19 Soledad Drive by Del Monte Center in Monterey. Reminds you to please drink responsibly.
Hey, are you driving around looking for a coffee shop with free internet? Right here in Pacific Grove, you'll find Black Forest Espresso, a fun and friendly place to hang out. We have a large espresso bar ready to make any gourmet drink, homemade wraps, mochas, lattes. How about 100% fruit smoothies and old-fashioned milkshakes in 14 flavors? Black Forest is also the only place to get soft-serve, fat-free frozen yogurt. We're the last hometown coffee shop at the Country Club Gate Shopping Center at Forest and David next to Save Mart Pacific Grove. Check out blackforestespresso.com.
Checking traffic on KRXA. Relatively quiet right now. An older crash, Monterey County, Highway 68, Corral de Tierra Road with injuries. Look like a vehicle and a bicyclist involved. Emergency crews should be on the scene, and that should be in the final clearing stages. Highway 17, making your way through the Santa Cruz Mountains. We currently have no stalls or accidents. Typical slowing once you get to the Fishhook, and stop and go on southbound 1, making your way down into Aptos. 101 Salinas, no problems to tell you about right now. South 101 leaving South San Jose. You are going to pick up that slow traffic at Coyote Creek Golf Drive. It'll stay stop and go into Morgan Hill. And this is brought to you by Parrot Hands-Free Car Kits. Positive Parrot reminds you that as of July 1st, California law requires drivers to use a hands-free device for making calls. Get a Parrot instead of a ticket. Check out the complete line of Parrot Hands-Free Car Kits at Parrot.com. If you spot a traffic problem, give us a call, 415-901-7990. I'm Nate Nix. That's traffic on KRXA.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're talking about the situation between the U.S. and Iran. William O. Beeman is my guest. He is a professor and chair of the Anthropology Department, and he's at the University of Minnesota. Again, he blogs on the web at wbeeman.blogspot.com. Beeman, B-E-E-M-A-N. And, Professor, we don't protect anybody on this program, and we spent a good part of the last hour before you joined us ripping apart John McCain's positions, particularly related to Iraq and Iran. So let me ask you, without any assumptions here about Barack Obama,
sure.
What do you think his real posture is toward Iran, and is he guilty of, kind of a premature concession by saying that he's willing to sit down and talk with the Iranians before we attack them?
Well, there really is no basis now for maintaining the line that the Bush administration has established, saying that Iran has to suspend uranium enrichment before we'll talk to them. The United Nations resolutions that were passed 2 years ago now about with regard to Iran, if anybody will read them carefully, and it's very important that they be read carefully, they guarantee Iran's inalienable right, and those are the words that are used, to peaceful nuclear activity. However, the caveat is that Iran and no nation that has signed the Nuclear Nonproliferation Treaty, including Iran, is allowed to develop nuclear weapons. That's Article 1 of the Nuclear Nonproliferation Treaty. The sanctions that were issued by the United Nations say that what they're after is confidence building about Iran's intentions to develop nuclear weapons. And the suspension of uranium enrichment is a measure to obtain confidence on the part of the international community that Iran is not engaged in weapons building. But what is interesting is that the United States itself, in its national intelligence estimate in 2007, has declared that Iran is not building weapons. And so, therefore, the suspension of uranium enrichment is no longer necessary in order to fulfill the purpose of the United Nations resolutions. But the Bush administration, I think, realizes this. They realize that the UN resolutions now have absolutely no basis for being carried forward. And so what they've done is they've seized upon the uranium enrichment in a kind of a fetishistic way as an end in itself. But it is not an end in itself the way it's stated in the treaty. It's only a means to an end, and the end is actually the confidence building, the guarantee that Iran is not building nuclear weapons, and the United States has already declared that they're not doing it.
And in addition to the NIE that you cited, Professor, the State Department has recently conceded that the enrichment program that Iran brags about is not as far along as they want us to believe.
Absolutely.
And
that's correct. We
get these little snippets of truth that contradict the much louder hyped threats that are presented by Democrats and Republicans alike.
Well, what the the most common phrase that we hear in the political rhetoric, and this includes Barack Obama, is the United States must prevent Iran from getting nuclear weapons. Well, the United States must prevent Thailand from getting nuclear weapons. The United States must prevent Brazil from getting nuclear weapons. You see, we don't. It only is when it's directed toward Iran that it seems to have any. This seems to have any force.
Mm-hmm.
And since we already admit that Iran is not on a course to developing nuclear weapons, and we've declared that, then that little piece of rhetoric is just a sophistry. It's something that is designed to scare the public without having any basis in truth at all.
And, Professor, you've heard that Congressman Kucinich is coming on in a few minutes to talk about impeachment. I find it interesting that Robert Wexler, a great progressive from Florida on most issues, supports impeachment of the president over the last war, and yet he signed on to the Resolution 362, which provides for or calls for a naval blockade of Iran, which is a very provocative act of war.
It is, and I'm very surprised at Congressman Wexler. I really am. There are lobbyists, there are, you know, people who are really concerned about House Concurrent Resolution 362, who have been in his office all day long trying to get him to read the resolution and to realize what he, in fact, has signed on to. I mentioned to you earlier that
Barney Frank
withdrew from it, and a couple of other congressmen have also withdrawn once they actually realized what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the most insidious part of it, and the part that I really, as an American, I really find just awful, is that this legislation wasn't even conceived in Congress. It was conceived by a lobbying organization outside of Congress. And
Professor Beeman, thank you for joining us today. William O. Beeman on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Sofas, dinette sets, mattresses, and more. If you have a home furnishing need, we're the place you need to be. So come on down to your friendly town of Marina and visit us. Furniture Outlet, 3056 Del Monte Boulevard in Marina.
Installing new transmitter, 50,000 cool ones. Operating the finest talk radio station west of the Gavilan Mountains. Priceless. KRXA 540. Think for yourself.
Hi, I'm Ginger.
And I'm Jay. And we'd like to personally invite you to our family restaurant, A Pizza Paradise.
Try one of our signature pizzas or calzones, such as Jamaican Me Crazy or Wild Mushroom Dreams.
We also offer sandwiches, salads, rice plates, and irresistible homemade desserts by Ginger.
So come relax in our tropical surf-themed restaurant and top off your meal with draft beer from Kona Brewing Company, fresh brewed Hawaiian coffee, or Lappert's ice cream.
Located in the Marina Village Center at 215 Reservation Road in Marina. We have been recognized by Monterey County food critics Mike Hill and Melissa Snyder as locals' favorite, best for families, and much more.
Call 582-9149 or visit our website at apizzaparadise.net.
It's A Pizza Paradise, where your pizzas are bigger, better, and bolder.
That's 582-9149.
Genocide.
No fortune on this planet that can repeat. Rwanda, Rwanda, Rwanda. Yeah. These are the cries of the children in Rwanda.
After 60 years of misuse, it's time to refresh our understanding of the word genocide. We are experiencing a worldwide genocide pandemic. It comes in thousands of forms, including war, sanctions, indoctrination, disease, ignorance, depleted uranium, and denial. Stop the pandemic of genocide. When it's worldwide, it affects you. On the next Quantum Leap, Saturday, 9 p.m., KRXA 540. And think for yourself. Genocide on the next Quantum Leap.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from that dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
Here at the Peter B. Collins Show, impeachment has always been on the table. Stop Neil Young right there, because that is the gist of the article of impeachment Dennis Kucinich has planned to introduce today. The congressman from Cleveland joins us right now. Mr. Kucinich, did you succeed in introducing this additional resolution today?
Yes, Peter. I introduced a single article of impeachment entitled Deceiving Congress with Fabricated Threats of Iraq Weapons of Mass Destruction to Fraudulently Obtain Support for an Authorization of the Use of Military Force Against Iraq. And in short, the President misled the Congress into war, induced Congress into voting for the war based on things that were absolutely not true.
Now, in your first batch of 35 articles that you introduced about a month ago, there was a resolution that sounded similar. I don't have the language right in front of me. Tell me what your strategy is here in introducing this particular resolution at this time.
If Congress is so preoccupied that it can't handle 35 articles, which I introduced over a month ago, then one single resolution which has irrefutable proof that the president concocted a case for war against Iraq, claiming that they had weapons of mass destruction capabilities and intention of attacking the United States, that they clearly did not. Well, then Congress should be able to settle on that, because what happened is that this is a matter between Congress and the president, since the president presented Congress with a resolution which had numerous representations that turned out to be false, that Congress relied on, voted for a war with the calamity that followed.
Mm-hmm. Well, and there's interesting irony here, because by settling on this as the key slam dunk, if you pardon the expression, resolution here that is irrefutable, as you described it, you are really countering what the Bush administration settled on in marketing the war to the American people. And they weren't concerned about whether the weapons of mass destruction threats that they relayed to us were true. And so I find a kind of rich and deserved irony there, Congressman.
Well, they're still trying to market the war. And the fact of the matter is, unless we challenge this administration and hold the president accountable, we are going to continue to have a cavalcade of lies that will bury this country. This administration has turned lying into an art form, And they've done it in a way that has been absolutely brilliant, peerless, you could say, and at the great cost to our nation, to our troops, to the future of this country, to our reputation in the world, to peace in the world. They have to be challenged. I introduced this article in a very focused way that has to do specifically with what they told the Congress. And if Congress is willing to stand up to this administration, we can hold him accountable and hold this president accountable for the misrepresentations that he made that took us into a war.
Dennis Kucinich is with us, Congressman from Ohio. You're hearing the story today. He introduced a single additional resolution, an article of impeachment against George W. Bush. And, Congressman, I have to tell you, this has been a tough week for me. I you know, like you, have been following politics all my life. I consider myself relatively hardened. But even though I knew what was coming in the Senate on Wednesday with the vote on FISA, when that reality sunk in, I have to say that it's a low point for me. I compared it to when Reagan was being inaugurated and the proof of the October surprise was presented on the split screen of all American televisions. And that knowledge, you know, sunk in, and it just stays there in the pit of your stomach. And so I have to say that I got a bit of a lift when I heard that you could join us today, that you're following through with this effort to impeach the president. And then right before we went on the air today, here on Thursday, I got some email news from Washington from the Politico. And it says that Nancy Pelosi made a statement this morning that indicates that she has softened her opposition, her total opposition to impeachment. And the quote from her says, "This is a Judiciary Committee matter, and I believe we will see some attention being paid to it by the Judiciary Committee. Not necessarily taking up the articles of impeachment, because that would have to be approved on the floor, but to have some hearings on the subject. My expectation is that there will be some review of that in the committee." How do you take these remarks, Congressman?
As very encouraging, that the message is starting to get through, and I think that it's encouraging. And I hope that that the House leadership will provide me with an opportunity to make a formal presentation of these charges to the Judiciary Committee so that the members of the committee can hear for themselves with an opportunity to question me as to the particulars of the resolution and can then decide whether or not to proceed. I think it's important. It's an important development, and I'm glad that the Speaker is making that consideration.
And, Congressman, can you tell us, were there communications from the Speaker to the Chair, John Conyers, where he was threatened with losing the chairmanship if he permitted impeachment to proceed?
I doubt that. I think that John Conyers is not the kind of person that the Speaker would do that to, and I don't think the Speaker would do it in any event. I think that if it was happening, we'd see more than evident, you know, a rumor about it. We'd see a real struggle, and I don't think that's the case. I think that the leadership of the House had decided a long time ago not to pursue impeachment. But when you start to see the totality of the evidence mounting, it's a little bit different than coming from a place of a couple of years ago where you didn't see the evidence, and now the evidence is in. Our troops continue to die in the field. Sent there on a mission that was not based on the truth, though their service is valorous. We need to have an accounting. We're paying all this money for the war. There's mortgaging the future of this country for this war. Wouldn't it be of interest that the war was based on lies?
Well, indeed. I think it's a very, very critical issue, and it's something that we need to resolve for ourselves and for both the citizens of the United States in the future and the rest of the world. We really need to send a clear message that we do not tolerate this kind of intentional lawbreaking and violation, direct violation, of the constitutional oaths of office.
That's exactly how I feel.
So what do you think will happen next here, Congressman?
Well, it's a matter of procedure. The clerk will have to read the legislation on Tuesday into the record. I will make a motion to refer it to committee because I want a hearing on it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, it'll be up to the leadership to determine whether or not they'll give me an opportunity to make the presentation. I'm hopeful they will. But I can tell you one thing. I'm not going to go away with this.
Yeah. Well, I spoke with you about a month ago, just after you had introduced the 35 articles. You were steadfast and determined, and I don't believe your demeanor has changed, Dennis.
Well, I feel very strongly about this. I think we're losing our country to war based on lies and to destruction of our civil liberties, and I feel an obligation to challenge that and whenever I can and wherever I can.
And do you, again, referring to the FISA vote, and I want to commend you for the speech that you gave on the House floor right just minutes before the Speaker talked and explained her reasons for supporting this awful capitulation of FISA and the clear rollback of our Fourth Amendment rights as American citizens. And so as this proceeded, I'm really, really troubled and flummoxed, Congressman, because it appears that the Speaker made some deals with the White House and that the FISA bill was one of them, and that the most recent supplemental to continue the funding for this war and occupation in Iraq, giving the president more and longer-term funding than he actually asked for, I'm just struck that this move by Pelosi today seems inconsistent with those recent sellouts to the administration.
Well, I'm hopeful that the willingness to consider the impeachment resolution will indicate a desire for Congress as an institution to be given the opportunity to listen to the charges and to determine whether or not the Judiciary Committee ought to proceed and the House ought to proceed with an action. I mean, this is one step at a time. And, you know, either a case is there or it's not. If it's there, then the evidence should follow wherever it may lead. If it's not there, then let people demolish the case that I'm presenting. But have an opportunity to hear the evidence. Listen to the case. Now, you spoke about FISA. I will tell you that the United States Senate, which is controlled by Democrats, in passing this expanded power to invade our Fourth Amendment rights, has really done a disservice, as did the House. I totally oppose the FISA amendments, the blanket warrants, the infringement on rights, the vague provisions about issuing a warrant, no definition of scope, giving the government an opening to spy on U.S. citizens, and letting these telecommunication companies get out of jail free card.
Well, and Congressman, repeatedly in the debates, I heard the misrepresentation that the illegal wiretapping was instituted after 9/11 and as a response to the attacks on our nation. And it's fully documented that the request went to Quest on February 27th of 2001, and that request was for intercepts on local switches, not Osama calling somebody in the United States or someone calling out to a terrorist in another country. And so these dimensions of the so-called terrorist monitoring program will never be known. And as Russ Feingold very clearly pointed out in his remarks in the Senate, fully 70 members of that body, most of whom voted for this trek, have not been briefed and actually are ignorant as to the details of the program that they ratified and retroactively legalized in their action yesterday.
Think about it. I haven't heard of this happening before, where the Congress would actually reach into ongoing investigations and nullify provisions of law that would otherwise cause people to be prosecuted or sued. I mean, you know, Congress really put a thumb on the scale of justice in favor of the telecommunication companies, and that this is more than an attack on the Fourth Amendment. It's an attack on the principle of equal justice before the law, and it's a sad moment And this, and FISA really, more than anything, is a tribute to fear and to the destruction of our civil liberties that this administration used the occasion of 9/11 to accomplish. We, you know, Peter, we need to go in another direction. We need to remember who we were before 9/11, not the mythic dimensions of America, but what was good and decent about us and our relationship to each other, and to try to reconnect with those deeper truths of who we are without the fear and without the terror and without the attempt by government to spy on us and corporations in league with the government to achieve power over our lives. This is really an opportunity for us to come together as Americans to take a new direction. The article of impeachment is one step in that direction.
Well, and Senator Obama missed a huge opportunity here to unite the American people, including people outside the Democratic Party who he's courting with a lot of his steps to the right, by championing the Constitution and a return to the rule of law and a departure from the politics of fear.
Exactly. And the politics of fear is paralyzing. You know, you cannot, we have to break through this fear. We have to stop believing that somehow government acting as Big Brother is going to protect us when it's government in the role of Big Brother to wage an aggressive war that has put us at further risk.
Mm-hmm.
When our civil liberties are at stake, and they continue to be at risk in this administration, It is urgent for us to organize in cities and towns across this country to talk about the country we want and to insist that those who represent us provide us with the country we want, not with the one that's in their heads based on fear. You know, in Washington, let me tell you something, Peter. When we go to work, you know, there are armed guards everywhere. There's guard dogs everywhere. There's streets that actually fold up with metal barriers. There's television cameras and snipers all over with sniper scopes to provide protection. This is not an environment in which a free state can protect our civil liberties.
Congressman, just a final question, and I am a little stuck on FISA here, but what is the political calculation that caused the Democrats to cave on this and to try to, you know, sweep this under the rug now, hoping that people won't remember it by November?
I can't tell you, because I opposed it, and I opposed it vocally and consistently, and so I can't understand why our Democratic leaders felt that it somehow benefits us holding telecommunication companies harmless for working with the U.S. government to spy on Americans. Why it makes us safer that the government has a blanket authority for wiretapping with these phony protections that actually can be swept aside with the loopholes that are in the law. I think that we've got the National Security Agency creating a huge spy a database for the purpose of spying, and they're collecting these phone records, and now they're going to be able to do it, and the telephone companies can cooperate. This is a nightmare, and it needs to be continue to be challenged. I look forward to the day that I get a chance to vote on repeal of this law.
Amen. Well, Dennis Kucinich, I contrast the deep shame of FISA with the great pride I take in your work and your courage in pursuing impeachment. And I thank you for your steadfast and persistent efforts here, and we'll see where it takes us.
Thank you very much.
All right, sir. Thank you very much. Dennis Kucinich here on the Peter B. Collins Show. We'll take a break and return to your phone calls. Let me know what you think about this. 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And here on Thursday evening, I will be sitting in on Air America late night, and Dennis Kucinich will be joining me again to talk about this nationwide. That'll be at 8:30 Pacific time, Thursday night on Air America. And if it's not available on your local radio station, grab the stream at airamerica.com. KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Well, checking traffic for the final time this evening on KRXA. Just a couple of problems to tell you about. Soledad, South 101, after 146, we have a two-car crash off to the shoulder. CHP is on the scene taking a report. Live Oak area, 7th Avenue at Capitola Road. The traffic lights are out. CHP is on the scene conducting traffic control in the intersection. Definitely expect delays as you approach the scene. 17th Santa Cruz Mountains, currently checking and installing accident-free. Typical slowing when you get to the Fish Hook in Santa Cruz. Highway 68, we have no problems to tell you about right now. And South 101, look for that slow traffic leaving South San Jose as you head down towards Morgan Hill. This is brought to you by Carfax. Do you know if the airbags in that used car you're buying work? Step one to finding out. Ask your dealer for a free Carfax vehicle history report or go to Carfax.com. Have a great night. I'm Nate Nix, and that's traffic on KRXA.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following The Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after The Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Melting polar ice was a dirty look. Shrinking glaciers, a nudge. Then dying coral reefs pushed us hard. Rising ocean temperatures and extreme weather, an uppercut. Then record-breaking heat waves hit us right where it hurts. Has it occurred to anyone that maybe the Earth is trying to get our attention?
We can still reduce greenhouse gas pollution. To find out how, go to fightglobalwarming.com. Brought to you by Environmental Defense, the Robertson Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. To experience one-of-a-kind dishes, don't forget the weekly specials. The Mexicali Grill is open Monday through Saturday for lunch until 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
And the roller coaster emotional ride continues here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Just heard excellent commentary from Congressman Dennis Kucinich about the shameful sellout on the FISA bill, and he continues his courageous efforts to get a bill of impeachment heard in the House of Representatives. We get more on these stories. From the news source everybody needs to check out, the Post Times Sun Dispatch, on the web at PTSD, the number one, blogspot.com. I'll repeat that. It's PTSD, the number one, blogspot.com. And chief reporter, cook bottle washer, publisher, and longtime journalist R.J. Shulman joins us now. R.J., how you doing today?
I'm doing great, Peter B. How are you doing?
Well, it's been a bummer of a week. I have to say that I took the FISA vote in the Senate almost personally, and I feel insulted, and I feel like they've ripped off my constitutional rights. It's worse than taking a $100 bill out of my wallet, RJ.
Well, it was really personal because they absolutely knew you were going to say that even before you said it.
Really?
Based on what they've already spied on regarding you. So it is personal, very personal.
Well, gosh, that helps me a little bit. I can see the loop now, the feedback loop. Your lead story at the Post-Time Sun-Dispatch is about Dems succumb to FISA compromise bill. And he wrote, Senate Democrats echoed the action of their party members in the House by voting passage of a controversial intelligence and surveillance bill that grants retroactive immunity to the telecom companies who illegally spied on the American people. And you got a quote from Harry Reid. We're happy with this compromise. The compromise being that we vote for the bill and the Bush administration will not reveal our personal secrets to the press. Now, RJ, I got an email from Bobby in Salem, Oregon last weekend, and Bobby was saying, Peter, why doesn't anybody talk about the possibility of blackmail being used on our elected leaders? And RJ, you've broken the story there, the first in the media to do so.
Right. The corporate media is certainly in cahoots with the Bush administration because certainly they don't want all the dirt told about them. And so this is the real reason why the Democrats have just kind of given up the ghost on this particular bill, mostly without a fight.
You got a quote from Dick Cheney. I are pleased. Is that really what he said? I are pleased the Democrats have come over to the dark side in our valiant fight in the war on terror, Cheney said. Even if it means I have to forego the pleasure of releasing to the press some smoking hot pictures of certain senators. And you twin that with a quote from right-wing Democratic Senator Feinstein of California. I'm happy to vote for this compromise bill, said Feinstein, as it balances the need for national security surveillance with the need for privacy. My privacy, to be exact.
Well, that's real. That's it. That's the reason. This is a very flawed bill. Not only does it grant the telecom companies, you know, this retroactive immunity, which is hard to swallow, but it actually allows the president to certify that he's following the law in the future. So it's a self-certification. It's kind of like the fox saying, you know, I certify that I'm not going to do any funny business in the White House. Or in the hen house, or Fox News saying that they're certifying what they're doing is news. So it's really a pretty bad bill all the way around.
And Barack Obama on Slippery Bark quoted as saying, as the candidate of hope and change, the only hope I have to be president is for me to change Bush's mind not to release certain phone calls that would become a 24/7 loop on Fox News. So I voted for the bill. RJ?
Yeah, they even got to Barack Obama, which is really sad.
This is the explanation I've been looking for, and your final quote is from Karl Rove, who fled the country so he didn't have to testify on Capitol Hill. Senators do the darndest things. I sure liked hearing them phone calls and having phone records read to me. But the pictures were the best. As you know what the Chinese say in Tokyo, a picture is worth 1,000 votes. RJ, thank you very much. People can read your work at ptsd1.blogspot.com. Thanks for joining me today on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Thanks, Peter B.
Happy trails to you.
We're talking with Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. Veronique, you started the company more than 30 years ago, and was it partly because you were getting headaches from wine?
Absolutely. I'm an extremely chemically sensitive person. There were no wines, no conventionally grown wines that I could really drink and enjoy until I accidentally tasted my grandfather's wine and discovered to my extreme surprise that I could drink those wines without getting headaches. More and more people suffer the results of the accumulation of toxic substances in our environment, and our tolerance is getting really strained, and therefore it takes a very little amount of a toxic substance for them to start have an unpleasant experience.
Learn more about the Organic Wine Company on the web at ecowine.com. That's ecowine.com. To place an order or ask a question, call 888-ECO-WINE. Toll free, that's 1-888-ECO-WINE.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. The Food and Drug Administration, accused of bungling a series of health scares, including the current salmonella outbreak, has been taking care of its own. CBS News correspondent Nancy Cordes reports 28 senior executives shared $1 million in bonuses last year.
On average, those 28 top executives received an extra $37,000 in 2007. We asked the head of the FDA why.
What we're talking about here was the need to have highly experienced, highly capable, technical experts that without which the country would suffer.
But bonuses to experts like scientists and doctors are not what worry congressional investigators. They say a quarter of the $35 million in bonuses the FDA handed out last year went to bureaucrats, not technical experts.
Among low-level employees, the biggest bonus went to the woman named Inspector of the Year. She got $2,500. This Toyota truck plant in San Antonio is about to get quiet. Production of the Tundra pickup will be suspended for 3 months due to slow sales, and a plant in Princeton, Indiana will stop making the Sequoia SUV. Toyota is shifting to meet rapidly changing demand. Spokesman Mike Goss says they'll start building the Prius Hybrid in the United States.
We can't build them fast enough.
The 46-mile-per-gallon Prius is Toyota's hottest-selling vehicle. No sign that gasoline prices will be coming down. Today, the price of crude oil shot up $5 to more than $141 a barrel. John McCain had to distance himself from former Senator Phil Graham today.
Phil Graham does not speak for me. I speak for me.
McCain said he strongly disagreed with Graham, a friend and economics advisor, when he told the Washington Times that we're a nation of whiners and we're in a mental recession. Graham refuses to retract his comments, but says he was referring to the nation's leaders when he used the word whiners. The biggest challenge for California firefighters right now are the fires in Butte County, which forced the evacuation of 3,800 homes today.
There are a lot of people who are displaced and still don't know the status of their homes. And the anxiety is the worst part of it, are people who had to leave and leave.